Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Secretary of War Hegseth says President Trump could have crippled the entire Iranian economy in a matter of minutes, but chose mercy when he agreed to the two-week ceasefire and further negotiations. The War Secretary's take is echoed by Vice President Vance.
What the President has also shown is that we still have clear military, diplomatic, and maybe most importantly, we have extraordinary economic leverage. So the President has told us not to use those tools. He's told us to come to the negotiating table, but if the Iranians don't do the exact same thing, they're going to find out that the President of the United States is not one to mess around.
One key aspect of the ceasefire is Iran agreeing to allow ships to pass peacefully through the Strait of Hormuz. And also this morning, President Trump says the U.S. will be working with Iran to dig up enriched uranium buried by last summer's airstrikes. And Mr. Trump, while not mentioning China or Russia by name, threatens punishing tariffs against any nation that tries to rearm Iran during the ceasefire. Israel says the ceasefire is not stopping it from attacking terrorist targets held by Iranian proxies in Lebanon.
The State National News Agency of Lebanon reports that a series of Israeli strikes hit several areas in central Beirut Wednesday without warning. It was not immediately clear what was targeted, but several of the strikes were in busy commercial locations. Since the outbreak of the latest Israel-Hezbollah war on March 2nd, Israel has regularly struck southern and eastern Lebanon and Beirut's southern suburbs, but rarely in the center of Beirut. There was no immediate report on the number of casualties. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Georgia's 14th congressional district seat will stay in GOP hands. Clay Fuller has won a special runoff election to fill the seat vacated by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Watching Wall Street, Dow futures are up 1,239 points. The Nasdaq futures ahead 842 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and it stressed me out. But what I thought was a solution turned out to be a problem. I kept hearing ads about debt settlement that seemed too good to be true. And actually, it was. When I called, they told me to stop paying my bills. That didn't sound right to me at all, so I hung up. Later, I found out that debt settlement is bad, real bad. Then I learned that there is a right way to pay off your credit cards. It's called a debt management program from the great team at Trinity. Trinity had a plan. In the end, I paid off my bills, I saved thousands, and I even improved my credit score.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-990-6976.
Good morning. It's 9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Police say a missing man was last seen outside of a Fells Point bar at around 2 a.m. Saturday. 27-year-old Branson Odor was seen on video in the 1600 block of Thames Street outside of the Horse You Came In On. Odor is described as 5'9" and 150 pounds. He was last seen wearing a tan-colored shirt and a white hat. Odor's family and friends have posted flyers around Fells Point. And a Maryland bill would allow the state to sue private schools over claims of discrimination, including based on gender identity, which some legal experts described as an unconstitutional targeting of religious schools that could lead to bankruptcy. With less than 1 week in the legislative session, the Maryland Senate is debating House Bill 0649, which passed in the House of Delegates last month and would allow the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights to investigate and file lawsuits against public and private schools over claims of discrimination. Stein on sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Spring is here and it's time to get moving, exploring and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduce stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you'll notice over time. Just go to res-q.com, use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free, or call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-26-2-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code R-E-L-I-E-F and do it today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Big-time home run for Gunnar Henderson. 1-1 for Gunnar. Taylor Ward at second. And this ball jacked to right field. Well struck. Hill racing back. It's gone! Left on left, Gunnar Henderson slams the Orioles in front.
Big time. Big time. Leave it up to the kid, folks.
Kevin Brown at Big Ben McDonald had the call on Masson. Henderson's two-run shot broke a 2-2 tie in the eighth. And Ryan Helsley closed it out as the Birds take two in a row from the White Sox. 4-2 was the final yesterday. After the game, Gunnar on the at-bat that decided the game.
I felt like I was seeing the ball pretty well and just had nothing to show for it, and then was able to get one and didn't come through for the team. And a chance to not go to extras would have been great because how cold it was.
How cold it was 34 degrees. Feels like temp was in the 20s. More daytime baseball for you today at 2:10 p.m. with Kyle Bradish on the hill. Today's game time temperature, a not too shabby 61. Meanwhile, the Ravens' fresh start in 2026 will include new uniforms to be unveiled at a PSL event a week from tomorrow at Merriweather Post Pavilion. It's the first time in 26 years that the Ravens have unveiled new uniforms. Coming up in 30 minutes, national media weighs in on Lamar. And that is Stein on Sports.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Yousefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Yousefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Yousefi, Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
WCBM News Time, 9:07. Here's the forecast from the Fox 45 Weather Authority.
Your Fox 45 forecast. After a very cold start, plenty of sunshine today with highs in the cool low 50s. Mostly clear and cold again tonight with lows falling back into the mid-30s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
36 degrees in Westminster, 37 in Easton, and 37 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Man, happy Wednesday. I have to tell you, I've never been so excited to await the phone call from Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management because the markets are reacting to the latest news in Iran. I want to get the details. I know you do, too. Obviously, we did not end up bombing Iran and any of their infrastructure yesterday at 8 p.m. We were told that there is now a two-week ceasefire. And, of course, I want to get your take on all this because, you know, some people are saying we've got a good deal. Some people say we didn't get a good deal. Don't worry, I've got the details. We'll go through all of that in just a minute. We will be joined by Delegate Nino Mangione at 9:35 a.m. I was not sure, so he didn't see him in my morning show rundown. It's because he's running all over Annapolis. You know, at the same time, he's also running for Baltimore County Council. I don't know how he does it. I really don't, but he is going to join us at 9:35 a.m., which is great because I do want to talk about the budget, right? I mean, that's going to Governor Westmore's desk. Everyone believes that he is going to sign it, and that actually takes money away from the very vulnerable community, those with disabilities, and that is a huge issue. So we'll talk to Nino at 9:35 a.m. Also, Governor Westmore is going to take a glance, I guess, at the juvenile charging bill. That's right. This is the bill that many state's attorneys across the state of Maryland were very upset about. What this does is it automatically charges juveniles as juveniles rather than adults. And they have already discussed how the juvenile system is overwhelmed here in the state of Maryland. We all know this already. Obviously, we see kids that are out and about committing violent crimes with ankle monitors already on their legs. Okay, so they cannot handle it. Yet here we are again. So Governor Westmore made some comments yesterday about it. I've got the audio. We'll talk about that at 10 o'clock. Also, Jacqueline Stevenson, she'll be in studio with me at 11. Now, I've never met Jacqueline, all right? Jacqueline's running for a delegate seat in Baltimore County. So we'll meet her and we'll ask her some questions. Obviously, you know, what her priorities will be when she gets to Annapolis. You know, most likely, you know, we'll talk a little bit about even what's going on here with the budget and everything we see this session. Because obviously, I want to know where she stands on these issues. If she were to be elected, we need to know which way she would vote. And where exactly she stands, right? So we'll talk to Jacqueline Stevenson in studio here at 11 o'clock. And I am begging you guys for some grace. There's more updates on the aliens and the UFOs. I stick that at the end of the show. You know, if we get to it, we get to it. But there's more chatter about, you know, what's possibly going on. And you know what? And like I said yesterday, some of this, I think, is a distraction. Because here we are. We're in the midst of this attack in Iran. We're talking about oil prices. We're talking about the market. The economy means so much to those in the Republican Party. Yet you've got Republicans on Capitol Hill talking about UFOs and aliens. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And the only reason why I'm entertaining it, just so you know, is because Congressman Tim Burchett, who endorsed me in my last run, he's a great congressman out of Knoxville, Tennessee. The fact that he's entertaining it makes me think that I, you know, should somewhat pay attention, right? It's like there's certain people on the Hill that I trust, and he's one of those guys. So, I stuck it to the very end of the show. If we get to it, we get to it. If not, we'll talk about it another time. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene, remember she vacated her seat in Georgia's CD14, I believe. Yeah, CD14. And right now, we do have a new congressman in that seat. I'll tell you all about Clay Fuller in the next hour. But let's get right into what we found out yesterday. Okay, so many of you were probably like me, right? We're kind of just sitting there by the TV, just watching and waiting. And it's for me, it wasn't fun. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm on this new diet plan where I can't drink any wine or alcohol. And so, you know, you would think that you would be watching this with a glass of wine in your hand, but I couldn't do that. I did have some potato chips, but I don't I don't really like chips a whole lot. So I'm just sitting there on pins and needles, you know, just waiting to see whatever happened. And then all of a sudden you see so many negotiations, so many text messages going back and forth. You see all these Truth Social posts from President Trump. You know, you've got all of these things happening. And you can tell that they're trying to negotiate. They're trying to get a deal done before 8 p.m. That was obvious from the get-go, right? Well, anyways, finally, we start to see, you know, people talking about possibly a 2-week ceasefire. Now, I did share on my socials, Instagram, Facebook, you know what, and X. I did share President Trump's comments on Truth Social when all this happened. And then I shared the message that was supposedly from the Islamic regime. And it's interesting because we'll get to that. There were a lot of messages that came out, even on CNN, and I know Trump addressed it. Some people were putting out messages that weren't exactly accurate. So, like, you had to sift through, and I hate this about social media right now. You had to sift through and figure out which was true and which was real, okay? By the grace of God, I got the ones that were all true, right? But it was so hard to manage that. I mean, we need more. I don't want to say that we need more parameters or anything like that. Because, of course, you know, you got your First Amendment right. But it's just like, dude, you know, putting out all of these responses and they're not even true. It makes our lives so much harder. Anyways, I wanted to tell you, last night I checked out CBS News and I saw Aaron McLean. And I've got some audio from Aaron sitting down at the desk. And I thought, you know what? Finally, here is an analysis without all the fluff, without all the drama and the theatrics. It's just the basic where we are currently with Iran. We're going to listen to this and then we're going to talk about whether or not this was a good deal.
Aaron, we thought this might happen. We come on the air. We think it's going to be one way. It ends up being another. What do you make of it?
Well, I think the devil is going to be in the details about this ceasefire. And if, in fact, Iran is going to open the Strait of Hormuz for a period of 2 weeks in return for the United States and Israel ceasing military operations, what does that mean? Does that mean, for example, that all the ships going through the Strait still have to be approved by Iran? Do they have to go through that northern channel through the Strait along the Iranian coast? Or can they sail through the international channel in the middle, which they've been avoiding since the start of this war. The devil is in the details here.
So why has the Strait of Hormuz, for people catching up with this story right now, become the centerpiece of everything in this war?
Well, the president began this war having asserted a series of ambitious but limited objectives. He talked about Iran's missile program, its infrastructure to build missiles, its navy, its nuclear program, and its support for terror proxies. But what he explicitly said on that first day was that he was not needing regime change to consider the war a success. In return, Iran basically took the Strait of Hormuz hostage. And in so doing, it took the global economy hostage, which has led us to the last few weeks where the president has escalated his rhetoric to the point where really he is talking about an unlimited maximalist war. This morning, talking about ending Iranian civilization.
As much as people heard the president's comments like ending Iranian civilization and thought he's not a rational actor in this, it didn't seem like the Iranian side was a rational actor in this. What do you make of them suddenly saying, actually, we will reopen the strait?
Well, there's a lot we don't know. We don't know actually who the president is talking to through these intermediaries in Iran. It is possible when you work your way through the details of this revolutionary regime, you're going to find somebody who's willing to buy some time. The Ayatollah Khamenei, who, of course, was killed on the first day of this war, occasionally took the limited option, occasionally took the way out and passed rounds of violence. After his death, we seem pretty stuck in on round after round of escalation. It's possible they found somebody who is willing to do a deal. However, they have to watch what this means. What does it mean that the Strait of Hormuz is actually open? The Iranians are sort of famous for making an agreement and then taking a few steps back.
And then will the shipping companies actually trust the ceasefire, and will the flow of oil continue? One of the things I've been confused by, and I think people at home probably are as well, is we have thousands upon thousands of successful strikes on Iran. How is it that after all of those strikes, they are still capable of launching missiles and drones that hit Israel, that hit our bases in the Middle East, that hit our allies?
Well, Tony, you may be familiar with the Adam Smith quote that there's a great deal of ruin in a nation. There's a great deal of ruin in a military as well. Take the Iranian missile program for an example. These missile stockpiles are buried deep underground. We bomb the entrance to the stockpile, the tunnel that leads into it. The Iranians dig it back out again. There is no question that the United States has heavily degraded Iran's missile capacity, just to stick with this one category. It's not capable of the kind of things it was capable of at the start of this war. It's certainly not capable of what it was back in 2023, post October 7th. But that doesn't mean it can't fire 5, 10, 25 missiles a day, which is enough not to accomplish serious military objectives, but it is enough to be destabilizing. It is enough potentially to retaliate if the president went after Iranian nuclear power plants.
What's the significance of Pakistan playing the mediator here?
That's a very interesting aspect of all this. Pakistan, of course, is very close to China. And that's a question I want to pull the thread on here in the days ahead, is what is China's role in all of this? What is the significance of Pakistan asserting itself as an intermediary like this? You know who's not happy about this? It's going to be the Indians, of course, who have long-standing tensions with the nation of Pakistan.
All right. So of the new information we got tonight just moments ago, we have a ceasefire. What's the most important thing to watch between now and the next beat in this war?
When we wake up in the next few days, if this ceasefire indeed sticks and if the Strait of Hormuz rhetorically is open, is it actually open? Do we see ships going through the international channel in the middle of the strait? Is the U.S. Navy allowed to sail back into the Persian Gulf, or are we asking Iranian permission to do that? That's another thing I'd ask.
All right, so there you have it. That is Aaron McClady sat down there on CBS, and I thought that was a pretty good analysis, right? It didn't lead one way or the other. So that is a big question. Obviously, I'm sure many people have that this morning. What is going to happen with the strait? Now, there's chatter about possibly Iranians charging vessels going through the strait. We'll get to that in just a second. I did want to read to you President Trump's Truth Social post yesterday. That would be before that analysis there from Aaron. He says, based on conversations with the Prime Minister of Pakistan and wherein they requested that I hold off destructive force being sent tonight to Iran and subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran, agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz. I agree to suspending the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so, that we have already met and exceeded all military objectives and are very far along with a definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. President Trump goes on to say, we received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it is a workable basis on which to negotiate. Almost all the various points of past contention have been agreed to between the U.S. and Iran, but a two-week period will allow the agreement to be finalized and consummated. On behalf of the United States of America as president and also representing countries in the Middle East, it is an honor to have the long-term problem close to resolution. Of course, Donald Trump then signs it. So, you know, that's the big key here. Now, there are a lot of people pointing to the fact, they say, hey, well, the Strait of Hormuz was open before the attack on Iran from the U.S. and Israel. And so, in a way, it was. But, according to experts, again, I'm just relying on those that weigh in, that I know, you know, foreign national policy, they're saying that at that time, Iran was already charging vessels to go in and out of that strait at the time. Now, how much of this is true? Look, I'm taking this in with a grain of salt, just like many of you. Now, 50 minutes ago this morning, this is what the State Department posted, which is a post from Donald Trump on Truth Social. He says, a big day for world peace. Iran wants it to happen. They've had enough. Likewise, so has everyone else. The U.S. will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. There will be lots of positive action. Big money will be made. Iran can start the reconstruction process. We'll be loading up with supplies of all kinds and just, quote, hanging around in order to make sure that everything goes well. Trump says, I feel confident that it will. Just like we are experiencing in the U.S., this could be the golden age of the Middle East. And so he's saying, and this is kind of what some people I think were not getting from the first comment here of the opening of the strait. There are many people weighing in, and I will just read this to you really quickly here. And there's lots of comments. So what this will do... it says, this is Birmingham. He's one of the analysts that weighs in on NBC. He says, the tolls will be collected in U.S. dollars, which was not happening before. Iranian oil will be sold in the U.S. Dollars, a huge boost to petrodollar. This brings Iran to the Western table, which over the long term, away from Russia and China. He says, the U.S. will jointly control the strait. He says, of course, he's not a Trump fan. Again, he's with NBC. He said, but in the long term, this is, in fact, a win. Now, this is somebody on the other side of the aisle. All right, so now we're going to go to an expert that doesn't have any bias here, and that is our friend with the Morning Market Flash every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, our friend Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management. Good morning, Tim. I bet your job is exciting this morning.
It's exciting, but as I was just mentioning to Brian, Kim, and happy Wednesday, first and foremost, you know, I kind of, you know, didn't realize that we would be experiencing all four seasons here in a day, single day, in the month of April, right? With that winter freeze last night, and then going through the spring, and maybe some warmer temps this weekend. I mean, so who knows? It's wild. But, yeah, it kind of folds right into the topic here today, and you did a great job on the intro. I heard you, you know, commenting, obviously, about some of the discussions between peace talks, the ceasefire now with the U.S. and Iran. And you're absolutely right. I talked about this on Monday, though, Kim. The thing that's very interesting is how closely the stock market and the overall volatility and action in general, Kim, is tied or connected to what's taking place overseas with the geopolitical tension, the de-escalation at some time, you know, point like we had obviously yesterday or last night, controlling really what the market, not necessarily dictating, but it certainly is very unique that the market's moving in unison with the overall discussions between the U.S. and Iran and what's taking place. And, you know, yesterday stocks on Tuesday finishing mostly higher in trading, rising to some of their best levels following the afternoon headlines again late in the day about these possible de-escalation discussions between the U.S. and Iran. S&P was up ever so slightly, Kim, 0.08%. The NASDAQ was up 0.1%. Russell 2000 also up about 0.17%. And the Dow was down ever so slightly, 0.2%. But then overnight, of course, we get the discussions, as you alluded to earlier, and the comment from President Trump that he is agreeing to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of at least 2 weeks. They did receive, to his point, I guess, a 10-point proposal from Iran. So right now, again, we're seeing this, you know, as we're talking, you know, it's essentially negotiation, Kim, right? And that's where the markets are seeing this right now, this two-week suspension of any attacks or bombings, which is leading to some positive reaction here in the market. Iran's Supreme National Security Council has agreed to reopen the strait, the waterway, you know, for 2 weeks as long as the attacks are halted. So that's boding well. The thing that concerns me a little bit, Kim, is that, you know, what if after 2 weeks, what happens then? right? And whether we see volatility coming back into the fold with the overall market. So it really seems to be a lot of back and forth, kind of this ping pong battle with Iran and the U.S. and the peace talks, and how that obviously determines what the stock market is doing overall. But to your point, yes, we're getting a huge, it is somewhat exciting here to see these markets move so much pre-market because of the ceasefire discussions. But Dow futures right now, Kim, are up 1,000. Yes, I said that. 1,230 points pre-market, as we're seeing, again, investors now looking to possibly rush back in to acquiring and buying U.S. stocks again. S&P 500 futures are up 176 points, and not quite a 1,000-point pop like the Dow, Kim, but the heavily technology-based NASDAQ index up a whopping 854 points here pre-market. Stocks that have been under pressure, a lot of technology names like Amazon, Tesla, Nvidia, many others, even in other sectors, companies like Boeing and other financials are all rallying here pre-market this morning. We are, of course, seeing the opposite. Energy stocks that have surged since the start of this conflict, you know, over a month ago, are now faltering and pulling back pre-market, Kim. So there we have it for the morning market flash. Exciting stuff here today. Hopefully we can close on a strong note. Look forward to joining you on Friday morning, Kim.
Thanks, Tim.
Spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduce stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you'll notice over time. Just go to res-q.com, use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free, or call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code RELIEF and do it today.
Lorian Harmony Hall opened a unique memory care program this year called Harmony Park. Lorian Harmony Park features an indoor setting that looks like an outdoor park space. It is a sensory neighborhood that is meant to offer wayfinding and other unique features to our residents to help them navigate their day. For more information, visit LorianAssistedLiving.com or call 410-531-6000.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and coworkers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, so far, so good. As you heard there from Tim Herb with some good news there. So now we're looking at latest reports. Looks like $70 a barrel for oil, clearly a huge drop from yesterday. We were over 100 yesterday, so that just happened overnight. I did want to just mention, because Tim Herr brought up a good point there, you know, this kind of suspends things for 2 weeks. But if these conversations, if negotiations isn't successful, you know, 2 weeks from now, we could see a major drop, but again, another whirlwind. And so I wonder if investors are going to hesitate because it's only a 14-day period. I guess we'll see. We talked to Tim on Friday. We'll know more at that point in time. Of course, you can weigh in anytime on this conversation. Just real quick, coming up next, of course, we do have Del Gettino Mangione. He's joining us from Annapolis. As I mentioned on the live just a second ago, no matter what happens on the international front, right, when it comes to affordability, if you live in the state of Maryland, because of the legislators here in Annapolis, because of the budget they're trying to pass, because of the blueprint for education, we are not going to see a whole lot of relief, right? The only thing that really will be affected for us would be at the gas pump. That's it. When it comes to, you know, anything else with the taxes and the fees, it's going to be very difficult. Now, I did want to note, and this is interesting because this is CNN that's breaking this. This was posted yesterday by CNN. Looks like around 4:45 p.m. Now, this is before before they decided not to go forth with the strikes. But here it says that as far as net favorability, right now, Republicans are in the lead, and they're saying by 5 points, we are up, Republicans, in both the House and the Senate as far as holding on to them in the midterms. I know we're in the middle of attacking Iran. I know everybody doesn't like to talk about the elections, but this is how it's, you know, this is how it goes, okay? This is what it's based on. It's always about elections. D.C., they only operate based on elections. Now, of course, you've got J.D. Vance. I know we talked about him yesterday. He's now making more comments, but he's kind of being forced to because he's in Hungary, I guess, right now, which is a week or so before their elections. And so some people are now claiming that they believe that J.D. Vance is now pushing forward with election interference by being there and obviously supporting a certain candidate. Again, that's D.C. for you. That's how the world operates. It's sad. It's pathetic. I don't like it. But it all has to do with elections, all right, no matter which country you're in. All right, coming up next, again, we'll talk to Delegate Nino Mangione. Also, real quick, on Friday, like I said, they're supposed to be having a meeting in Pakistan. J.D. Vance, Jared Kushner, all of those players are supposedly going to be there to have these discussions, to begin negotiations. And then I guess we'll see by Monday where that all stands. So stay right there, Delegate Nino Mangione, coming up next.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The U.S. and Iran have agreed to a 2-week ceasefire. Truce includes Iran allowing safe navigation through the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump says Iran has also produced a longer-term 10-point peace plan. The president says it provides a workable basis for negotiations. These latest developments have global stock markets soaring. Wall Street futures have been rocketing higher all morning long, and oil prices are falling. The voters have spoken, and Republicans will retain the Georgia congressional seat that had been held by Marjorie Taylor Greene before she stepped down. Republican Clay Fuller has won the runoff in Georgia's 14th congressional district. Fuller is crediting grassroots support and President Trump's endorsement for his victory. The opening bell just sounding on Wall Street now. Stocks are starting off the day sharply higher. More details, SRNnews.com.
This is Pastor David Lewis with today's Moment of Truth. We evolved the safeguards firmly in place to protect our society from itself, as well as from the attacks which come from outside forces. The first line of defense for every American is the Constitution. It applies to each one of us who is a legal citizen. But even more than that, we have the Bible, God's Word, which gives us our Judeo-Christian standards that have been the basis for our government, our economy, and our way of life for more than 300 years. Of course, the liberals who have gained power in America made sure to first take the Bible out of our schools, followed by the removal of any objective teaching of the Constitution. So now our young are being eaten alive, literally, by the consequences of this behavior. The left promotes the gods of humanism, not the God of the Bible. And because of that, they become narcissistic and conditioned to believe and act in a way that is anything but a critically independent people of value that God created us all to be. God, country, and family is our proper vertical alignment. Anything else is doomed to fail. This is Pastor David Lewis at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Trevor Rogers remains legit.
2-2 for Hill. That's strike three. Right in there for Trevor Rogers. And strikeout number 5.
That's knocking a little paint right off the inside corner for Trevor Rogers.
Kevin Brown and Big Ben had the call on Masson. I used to call him the burly left-hander, but have you seen him lately? Now he's the slim left-hander. Either way, Rogers with 6 gritty innings in tough conditions yesterday. 2 runs allowed, didn't get the win, but allowed the Birds to win it late. 4-2 the final on a Gunnar Henderson 2-run shot. After the game, Rogers on the battle.
In terms of stuff, probably the worst one of the year. It was one that, you know, I had to bear down from, you know, after that third inning on. I had to bear down, just grind through it, try to make pitches the best I could and keep my team in it.
Rogers allowing 3 straight hits after getting the first 2 outs in the third. White Sox plating both of their runs in that inning. National media weighing in on Lamar's attendance at the offseason workouts, which started on Monday. Former NFL player Emmanuel Acho on his podcast, The Speakeasy.
This is leadership at its finest by Lamar Jackson. Lamar ain't got to be there. He ain't got to be there because it's not punishable. He ain't got to be there because he's making enough money. And he ain't got to be there because it's not mandatory.
Stop. I'm sick and tired of this. It's not about Lamar having to be there. It's about should Lamar be there? Should he be having his coaches back? Should he be leading his team? If the answer is yes to any of those questions, then all this media hoo-ha about how great it is that Lamar actually took time out of his hard life to show up is part of the problem in the first place. Coming up in 30 minutes, Gunnar Henderson does it again. And that is Stein on Sports.
Turf Valley Resort is your perfect destination for conferences, executive meetings, and corporate retreats, offering a variety of event spaces, 172 hotel rooms and suites, two championship golf courses, full-service restaurant, and spa. Work with our experienced team of catering and event planners to meet all of your needs. Visit turfvalley.com or call 410-465-1500. Turf Valley is centrally located in the Baltimore-Washington corridor as Maryland's premier event venue.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are looking at a cool day ahead of us after a cold start. Bright sunshine this afternoon with highs in the low 50s. Mostly clear and chilly again tonight with lows dipping back into the mid-30s. Another round of sunshine coming our way on Thursday and a little bit milder with highs back in the upper 50s and low 60s. The 70s are back starting on Friday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Attention! Have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers, so don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800-730-7788. 800-730-7788. Again, that's 800-730-7788.
Hi, honey.
My mother called. She's coming to town.
To stay? The house is a complete mess.
Call MaidPro.
MaidPro? You know how picky your mom is.
Check out their 49-point checklist on MaidPro.com. They do a detailed cleaning every time. MaidPro.com is easy. Just enter your zip code, questions about the house, and submit.
Oh, I have another call. Huh, it's MaidPro. Thanks, honey. I guess your mother won't recognize our house.
Then MaidPro's even better than we thought.
Sign up for recurring service and receive $75 in free cleaning. MaidPro, your home clean just how you like it.
From the home of the Ravens, the Orioles, and the Star-Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
And we'll come back to talk more about what's going on currently in Iran. I got a couple text messages for you to read. I did get another text from Joe from B-More this morning. The 10-point plan, he says, that Iran put forth is not a beneficial framework for the U.S. or the world to negotiate from. It makes them stronger and richer than ever. Did Trump fold? Well, Joe, we did read the message from Trump. You might have missed it. He says they will start there, but it's obviously not something that he wants. I thought that was interesting because yesterday you texted me, Joe, from B-More and says, this is a post from your favorite president. A whole civilization of people will die tonight, never to be brought back again. God bless the people of Iran. So yesterday you were obviously very upset that we might bomb Iran, but today you're now more upset with the 10-point plan. I think, at some point in time, we got to pick a lane, all right? We got to stick to it. I mean, come on. Like, let's calm down. As we can see, this is a very fluid situation. It changes by the hour, not even daily at this point. All right, we got a good friend on the line. Real quick, don't forget, we've got the question of the day at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you trust Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz? Very simple question. Do you trust Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz? We'll talk more about that in the next hour. I just want to make sure you go out there and take part in the poll so we can talk about that or chat about that a little later. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to the reason why people in Maryland will not feel anything better as far as affordability, because our legislators on the left in Annapolis can't seem to get it together. Right now, we're joined from Annapolis by Delegate Nino Mangione. Good morning, Delegate. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. I am great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Look, you guys got a lot going on up there in Annapolis. As I mentioned before, I don't envy your job, Delegate. But, you know, first and foremost, I want to start out talking about what I discussed on Fox 45 this morning, and that is this juvenile charging bill. Obviously, there have been state's attorneys and prosecutors across the entire state of Maryland, and I believe all of them.
I'm sorry, I lost you for a second there. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I hear you. Yep.
Okay. We're talking about the juvenile charging bill. State's attorneys, prosecutors across the state, Democrats even do not support this bill. It passed the Senate. Then, of course, it passed the House. That was not surprising. But now the surprise for me is Governor Wes Moore. I don't know if he's read the bill, Delegate, but now it sounds like he might sign it, and we might see juveniles going straight to juvenile court rather than being charged automatically as adults for heinous crimes. What's your take on all this, and what is your reaction?
Yeah, Kim, I sit on the Judiciary Committee, so I saw a lot of this unfold throughout the session. Let's kind of walk through this. Yet again, I mean, this is the problem, Kim. The Maryland General Assembly, making Maryland less safe. I mean, ignoring the reality. You do a great job. I listen, obviously, on a regular basis. You always highlight, because we constantly are seeing out-of-control juvenile crime. It's a fact. It's not me just making something up for politics. Juvenile crime is constantly in the news, very serious crimes. Instead of cracking down, the Democrat supermajority literally just passed a bill called the Youth Charging Reform Act, and Governor Moore, it's sitting on his desk. It passed the House and the Senate, I believe. And what the bill basically does is, as you mentioned, it changes how we handle these juveniles who commit some extremely serious and violent crimes, by the way. Where up until now, a minor who committed certain offenses like carjacking and first-degree assault, I mean, first-degree assault is very serious. Gun crimes, Kim, they could automatically be charged in adult court. What this bill does, it removes that automatic charging, and now the cases start in the juvenile system instead. And we heard on the House floor, we had a number of amendments. This discussion went on for a long time, or the debate on the floor. And they kept emphasizing how it's about giving young, you know, juveniles a second chance and trying to keep them out of the adult system. And many of us, Kim, a lot of us believe in second chances, obviously. But here is the problem, and it's not me just saying this. I'm not an expert just because I sit on the Judiciary Committee. I'm learning a lot about all this, but it's the prosecutors. It's law enforcement. These are experts. These are the people that deal with it every single day and from across the entire state of Maryland. Democrats, Republicans. I think, I could be wrong, it was almost every state's attorney, if not all of them, that were completely against this. I mean, think about that. That's Montgomery County. That's Baltimore County, PG County, Carroll County, Republican and Democrat. And Ivan Bates, he in Baltimore City, he's one of the leading voices against this. I mean, he's been to our committee. He was very vocal against this. And again, I mean, Montgomery County, and they basically, like you and I, think that this weakens, and not think, it does, it weakens accountability for the very serious crimes like I mentioned. I mean, using a gun in a crime, it's unbelievable. And these are, Kim, they're adult actions, violent assaults, gun offenses, they should carry adult consequences. And when you remove that, you're basically sending a message that some of these crimes will be treated without the seriousness they deserve, and that is a problem when it comes to public safety.
Yeah, again, we're speaking to Delegate Nino Mangione that is currently in the State House. Delegate, you know, it's interesting, too, because the Democrats, they're all about gun control, right, the gun control laws. Here, you know, when it comes to gun offenses with juveniles, they're just fine sending them to the juvenile court system. And I will say this, you know, for me, we're watching many juveniles committing crimes repeatedly while on ankle monitors already. It is clear that DJS cannot handle these kids, and they're not being rehabilitated at all.
Kim, that is a great point. As a matter of fact, this morning I was scrolling through the news on Fox Baltimore, and I saw that one of the headlines basically said that DJS was questioned after the Baltimore police announced the arrest of repeat juvenile offenders. And that's a great point, because we had many law enforcement officials basically come in, sheriff's office and others, and they were basically, and Ivan Bates, I believe, said this as well, that the Department of Juvenile Services, they cannot, they're not ready to handle what could be a huge influx of these very high-risk violent offenders. So the system's not even ready. It could create more of this. And I think there was this, the reality here is once these cases start in the juvenile court, it's extremely hard to move them to the adult court. So the prosecutors, you know, the state's attorneys, they testified in their committee saying that the bar is so high that it rarely happens. What it really means is that repeat violent offenders may never face serious adult consequences. And it's just, it's another problem. All this raises concern about public trust. I mean, look at places like Baltimore City. Residents, they're worried. And now it's happening in Baltimore County. It's happening across the entire state, this idea of a catch-and-release system with these juveniles. And instead of, like I said in the very beginning of this interview, instead of sending the message we're going to go after juvenile crime, here they are going more lenient on some very serious crimes. It's just horrible public policy. As I said, I mentioned Governor Moore, it's at his desk. I believe I read that, you know, he thinks it's striking the right tone or something. He should be vetoing this bill. If he were to veto, which I don't think he would, they would override him anyway. So this is just, unfortunately, another step in the wrong direction in Maryland.
Yeah, Delegate, I did note earlier this morning on Fox Baltimore, but Governor Westmore has been on the wrong side of many of these issues. We just found out yesterday, I don't know if you heard the news, I know you're very busy, but in Wacomico County, they did a drug bust there, and some of those individuals were here illegally. And so they had to work with federal partners, with ICE, to apprehend these individuals. And you had Governor Westmore kind of touting, like saying, hey, look at this big drug bust. Yet his first priority was banning 287G. And so it's like, dude, he doesn't seem to get it right ever. Along those lines, Delegate.
It is unbelievable hypocrisy there, Kim. And then he tries to take credit for being a part of that drug bust, but yet was leading the charge along with the Democrat supermajority of getting rid of ICE. It's just, it is amazing. And that's probably why the numbers are showing. People just don't trust them.
Yeah. No, speaking of which, Governor Westmore has been dealing with his poll numbers dropping. He's been dealing with the numbers dropping as far as public trust. And recently, Gary Collins with Spotlight on Maryland attempted to ask Governor Moore whether or not people should trust him. And he kind of got out of dodge there. He doesn't want to respond to it. But that's not the only question that he's dodging now. People are wondering, you know, what's on his resume? You know, what else has he lied about? He was booed at opening day. I guess, Delegate Nino Mangione, do you think that Governor Westmore is vulnerable here going into November?
Well, that's a great question, whether he's vulnerable or not. I mean, we're still in Maryland. But it's that type of spin that you just mentioned. I mean, that type of hypocrisy. People that when they see somebody taking credit and trying to spin something like this drug bust, but at the same time, you're hearing it's just as much a part of the illegal alien problem that we've had in this state. I think Sean mentioned, I mean, one of the sheriffs, they said this was a terrorist group, the sheriff from Wacomico County. And when you have these terrorist groups and you're in your state operating, and you try, then they're cooperating with ICE and helping here, and then you try to spin it, even though you fought against ICE. I mean, these are the types of just typical politician type moves. And when he was asked about it, he gave his little snarky remark of, he just kind of walked away. Just look at these numbers. UMBC polls show, I think it was just 48% approval, and that's the lowest it's ever been. And, you know, people are souring because, look, Maryland families are already getting hit with rising costs. I mean, last year the governor signed the largest tax increase in our history. I mean, all the fees. You have 6 out of 10 Marylanders say the state is heading in the wrong direction. The fact is, under Governor Moore, I mean, he can project this optimistic view all the time. He can look good and smile and give all these speeches. But just after this bill that I'm sure he's going to sign into law, you're going to have people feeling more safe. People are less safe, I'm sorry, but they're more squeezed in their bank accounts. They're less confident about the future. People just aren't buying it, and they have every reason to have a very negative outlook in the future of Maryland because of Governor Moore's failed leadership. I would go on and say he makes Martin O'Malley look like he was half decent. I mean, the governor is probably the worst governor we've had in modern history with his failed leadership here. And it's not just me saying it, but people are seeing the writing on the walls. They're reading the reality here of what's going on. And, you know, Marylanders are really paying the price. And whether or not there's going to be a change at the ballot box, I can only hope so.
Yeah, I hope so as well. And just so people listening, we will talk about that big drug bust there in Wacomico County coming up next. You guys have the details as well. But it is very hypocritical of our governor. Before you go, Delegate Nino Mangione, I wanted to just ask you real quick about the budget. Obviously, many people have many concerns, especially those in the vulnerable community with disabilities. We saw some cuts there. This budget, I assume, is going to be signed if it hasn't been signed already.
Yeah, he's supposed to sign it this morning. And again, you're right, if he hasn't signed already, this is what I'm talking about here, because this does not make it more affordable for any Marylander. Almost $71 billion in this budget, and that is a massive spending increase of nearly $4 billion more than last year. Think about that. At a time, Kim, when normal people like us across Maryland, all across Maryland,
did we lose the delegate?
The exact opposite. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yep.
It's spending $4 billion more than last year. We're tightening our belts, normal people like us, people across Maryland. But here in Annapolis, they're doing the exact opposite. It's reckless. They're spending $4 billion more. And, I mean, I've heard this said a couple times this year, and I agree. I've actually said it myself a number of times. This is nothing but an election year budget, because they don't want to raise taxes and fees this year. However, Kim, we have very highly paid and respected budget experts in what's called the Department of Legislative Services. They're projecting a $2.3 billion deficit by 27, $3 billion after that, and $4 billion by 2030. So what that means to everybody here really is this budget, you can call it a quote-unquote balanced budget, but what it really did is just borrowed time, because it's not balanced in the way that we need it to be, because it spends more than we take in. It takes funds from other areas and shifts it around. It raids other funds. I said it earlier. I mean, we were hit with $1.6 billion last year just to try to pay some of these future bills. And even the Senate President, Bill Ferguson, he said yesterday, I mean, he basically said this leaves big questions as to what we're going to have to answer next year, meaning what could that be? More taxes? Is it a sales tax, an income tax? Who knows? Because the math doesn't add up. How are they didn't cut this budget to prepare for the future. They just tried to maneuver it to just make way for saying, oh, we balanced the budget without taxes and fees this election year. I told you this last week on the show, Kim, that Maryland, the citizens of Maryland are getting crushed when you look at how much they're paying per person in taxes. Maryland has 6.3 million people. Pennsylvania, who has a Democrat governor, by the way, they spent $53 billion on their budget, and they have almost twice the amount of people, $17.5 billion less than Maryland, who only has about 6.3 billion people. So this budget was a disaster. He's signing it into law today. Anybody who voted for this budget, they should have known, or they did know, that they were choosing this short-term politics over really what we need here is long-term fiscal responsibility. It's not leadership from the governor. It's not leadership from the supermajority and anybody that voted to pass this buck. Yeah. Stick the taxpayers with the consequences. They should be cutting across the board, every agency, balance the budget now for the future projections, cut Kerwin. We need real leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug and Nino Mangione, you're going in and out there, but I appreciate you weighing in, and keep fighting the good fight there in Annapolis. We'll catch up with you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. All right, we'll react to that when we get back. Did you know Town Appliance at Owings Mills is the best place for offering anything you want or need in appliances? Their showroom is so big, it's filled with so many different appliances. Look, you can only imagine. From basic all you need to high-end technology like Whirlpool, JennAir, KitchenAid, and Maytag, and so many more, 70-plus brands is what they offer. And my experience with Mayer is absolutely wonderful. As I told you, he's very helpful and happy to answer any questions you may have, whether you're browsing or buying. And so right now, Town Appliance is having their 47th anniversary event along with flexible financing options, so it's a great time to stop in. Now, if you want to go check out their website, you can, townappliance.com. And while you're there, look for the banner for their anniversary giveaway. It's a coffee machine. Good luck to you.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
President Trump's promise to target Iran's energy sites and bridges and key infrastructure, that is not a war crime. An enemy combatant's fuel and power sources that support its military capabilities, often delivered across bridges, are permissible under the common rules of war. meaning Iran's bridges, their power plants, their oil installations. They have civilian purposes, but they also have military purposes. So that does not render it a war crime. It would be akin in many ways to collateral damage.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, look to my most trusted source, Sig Sauer, for your personal and family safety plan. Now, they have a 270-year history of precision, craftsmanship, quality, reliability. Now, Sig Sauer is the choice of the U.S. military, and it's the best in the world. It's made right here in New Hampshire, and the Sig Sauer P365, it is the most popular, best-selling concealed carry pistol on the market today. Again, the one I carry every day. Now, it's frequently cited as the top-selling, high-capacity, micro-compact pistol, consistently ranking ahead of competitors. And I can tell you firsthand, the P365, it's an amazing firearm. Now, we are a Sig Sauer family here. Sweet baby James, he has several Sig Sauer firearms. Even Linda owns the P365 Rose Special Edition. Remember, there's only one manufacturer who's innovating. The only one you should buy from, Sig Sauer. Buy American, made in New Hampshire, SigSauer.com. Just go to SigSauer.com/Hannity. You will get a discount, and you'll find the dealer near you.
Hi, Sean Casey with Vinny Steo, CEO of Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty, Maryland and Lower Pennsylvania's real estate expert. Welcome back, and wow, Vinny, we're celebrating 9 incredible years together on WCBM, helping local families with their real estate dreams.
Yeah, Sean, it's been a huge honor. 9 years right here, 23 years total, helping thousands of families sell fast and for top dollar. The key to our success is that I understand every seller situation is different. My guarantees and programs give sellers options, including multiple cash offers, 100% of market value, or my trusted guaranteed sale program where I'll sell your home or I'll buy it myself at a price and time frame you agree to. Or maybe you need to sell and stay for up to 12 months. With my 12,000 plus buyers in waiting, your home may already be sold.
9 years of guarantees on WCBM. Just a phone call or text will get you started. 410-709-7515. 410-709-7515,
VinnyStio.com. I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Whitstat. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Whitstat. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL. W-I-L-L today to schedule a free consultation.
File now with TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They'll find every credit and deduction or your money back. File in the Credit Karma app.
Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680, WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, thank you, Doug and Neil Mangione, for joining us. According to McKinsey Frost at Fox 45, as of 19 minutes ago, the budget was just signed by Governor Wes Moore. It also mentions some of the utility savings mentioned are contingent on energy legislation passing by the end of the session. So remember, they had that utility bill package and they were like, oh, we're going to save you so many bucks. Da, da, da. Well, apparently when it comes to the budget, that's not actually baked in. We're going to wait and see what happens towards the end of the session here. And luckily, the 90 days is almost over. Hell is almost over. All right, I do have a couple text messages to read from many of you. I know that you have options. So, again, thank you for joining us. I'm Kim Klasick Live every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Marty says the new changes in the juvenile justice system make it more important than ever for voters to know where their candidates for governor stands on judicial appointments. Will anyone ask this question? Marty, that's a great question, and we will ask that question. I think it is time to get the gubernatorial candidates back on the show, now that you mentioned it, especially after seeing his latest poll numbers as that drop continues. Let's see, a couple things, even based on what we were discussing at the beginning of the show with Iran. Jeff says, as bad as Trump is, Vance is worse. And as bad as Vance is, congressional Republicans are worse. And to top it off, all Democrats are worse than all of these. We are well and truly screwed in this country. Jeff, I think a lot of people would actually agree with you on that one. Don't forget to go back to WCBM.com or use the app and take the question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you trust Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz? Do you trust Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz? Interesting enough, 78% of you so far say no. 22% of you say yes. Interesting. Very interesting. You see, I would suspect, and you know, we could talk about this a little more at length towards the end of the show, but just kind of where my head is at the moment, I would suspect that Iran wants that money, and if they're charging per vessel, even if they have to split it with the U.S., I would suspect that they would get it open. Obviously, they want to rebuild. A lot of their military has been decimated. I'm sure they want to rebuild on that front as well. We'll talk more about that at 11 o'clock hour. But don't forget to go to WCBM.com or the app and take the poll question of the day brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. When we see the Strait of Hormuz reopen. Coming up next, more on Governor Wes Moore.
Now here's Maryland Delegate Nino Mangione with the Maryland Minute.
The 2027 budget is a disaster for the future of Maryland. It hikes spending by over $4 billion and does almost nothing to solve the multi-billion dollar deficits looming next year and beyond. Governor Moore and the Democrats didn't find solutions. They found gimmicks. By shifting money between funds and pushing costs onto our counties, they simply kicked the can down the road and forced local taxpayers to pick up the tab for their fiscal irresponsibility. The appropriations and Senate finance chairs have long used these maneuvers to manipulate the budget and mislead the public. There was nothing brave or decent about this process or vote. They even held public safety funding hostage for the benefit of illegal alien criminals. In fact, the Democrats were so ashamed, they rushed the final vote, limiting debate and transparency. Anyone who voted for this budget has done a grave disservice to Maryland. Taxpayers deserve honesty and fiscal sanity, not games and lies. This budget is a $71 billion embarrassment.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall.
Amrit Thomason.
The U.S. and Iran have agreed to a two-week ceasefire. The truce includes further talks and Iran allowing safe navigation through the Strait of Hormuz. Secretary of War Hegseth warns Tehran against trying to cheat on the deal.
The War Department, for now, has done its part. We stand ready in the background to ensure Iran upholds every reasonable term.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
Announcing the two-week pause in military strikes, President Trump called for the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the crucial waterway. Iran said passage through the strait would be allowed for the next 2 weeks under the control of its military. Iran described the ceasefire as a humiliating retreat by Donald Trump, while the White House claimed the president and a powerful U.S. military got Iran to agree.
President Trump says Iran is offering a longer-term 10-point peace plan that provides a workable basis for negotiations. And stock markets here at home and abroad have been soaring as oil prices decline.
Brent crude, the global benchmark for crude oil, that is a pretty big drop indeed. We're talking about 15, 16%. Quite simply because part of the conditions for this ceasefire is the Strait of Hormuz reopening. So if, you know, millions of barrels of oil and gas are able to start transiting through the Strait of Hormuz, that's going to give a good boost to global supplies. It's going to be a big relief to countries here in Asia.
The BBC's Nick Marsh. Republicans will retain the Georgia congressional seat that was held by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Republican Clay Fuller has won the runoff in Georgia's 14th congressional district. Checking in on Wall Street now, the Dow is up 1,316 points. The Nasdaq trading 634 points higher. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hey, I am Brant, and her name is Sherry, and she's a friend and a colleague of mine, and we were just praying for her, actually, because she had a major surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is MediShare. That's right.
Of course.
Yeah.
So what was your experience like with MediShare and your health care bills?
You know what? It was seamless, and that's such a blessing when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems, and let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in, and it's just what you need. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling people. People love MediShare and saving tons of money. The typical family I'm fond of saying, could save $500 a month.
I am so thankful for MediShare. It's so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way, Brant.
It is a good different. Call right now. They're so easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE. 844-94-BIBLE.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. A Baltimore woman has been sentenced to 9 years behind bars for a 2025 DUI crash that killed a man in Carroll County. Lydia Hansen's blood alcohol level was 0.34, and she was driving 99 miles per hour when she crossed the center line on Route 97 and hit an oncoming car. Richard Snyder of Westminster died as a result of the crash. Hansen had been stopped for a DUI the day before the crash. Four juveniles have been arrested and two stolen vehicles have been recovered following a police pursuit in Baltimore on Tuesday. Police were called to the 100 block of Beachfield Avenue at around 6:30 for a report of a vehicle crash, but the car was abandoned when they arrived. A witness gave police video and a description of three young people who got out of the wrecked vehicle and into one that was waiting. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
And owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big-time home run for Gunnar Henderson.
1-1 for Gunnar. Taylor Ward at second. And this ball jacked to right field. Well struck. Hill racing back. It's gone! Left on left, Gunnar Henderson slams the Orioles in front.
Big time. Big time. Leave it up to the kid, folks.
Kevin Brown and Big Ben McDonald had the call on Masson. Henderson's two-run shot broke a 2-2 tie in the eighth. And Ryan Helsley closed it out as the Birds take two in a row from the White Sox. 4-2 was the final yesterday. After the game, Gunnar on the at-bat that decided the game.
I felt like I was seeing the ball pretty well and just had nothing to show for it, and then was able to get one and didn't come through for the team. And a chance to not go to extras would have been great because how cold it was.
How cold it was 34 degrees. Feels like temp was in the 20s. More daytime baseball for you today at 2:10 p.m. with Kyle Bradish on the hill. Today's game time temperature, a not too shabby 61. Meanwhile, the Ravens' fresh start in 2026 will include new uniforms to be unveiled at a PSL event a week from tomorrow at Merriweather Post Pavilion. It's the first time in 26 years that the Ravens have unveiled new uniforms. Coming up in 30 minutes, national media weighs in on Lamar. And that is Stein on Sports.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
Statewide tornado drill.
Hi, Kim Klasick here. What separates AES Builders and Home Improvement from other builders is simple. The rooms they create become the places where life happens. Memories are made, families gather, and dreams come to fruition. Sean and Steven, who worked alongside Tim Munson, Sean's dad, for 15 years, keeping it in the family. They are carrying forward the AES legacy while bringing in a modern design perspective that will truly amaze you. AES doesn't just build rooms. They build spaces that feel like home. Call AES Builders at 410-574-4400 or visit aeshome.us.
If you're not happy, we're not done. MHIC 37105.
WCBM News Time, 10:08. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. After a very cold start, plenty of sunshine today with highs in the cool low 50s. Mostly clear and cold again tonight with lows falling back into the mid-30s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
42 in Bowley's Quarters, 40 in Pikesville, and 42 in Joppatown. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. You know, I haven't complained about traffic in a while, but I'll do so today. I was doing so well this week. And then a truck apparently did not secure whatever debris it had on the back. And all hell broke loose on 695. So hopefully all lanes are now open. And you guys are doing fine out there. But just beware. And I know accidents happen. So I'm not gonna blame the trucker. I know things can happen. Nothing's perfect in life. But I was sweating bullets this morning. I had to jump on Putty Hill and then go down Loch Raven, which is always jam-packed. But you know what? I made it on time, so I'm happy about that. You know, we were talking about the latest updates in Iran. I did want to just read to you. This was breaking. It looks like this might have happened 2 hours ago. In case you missed it, President Trump is slapping 50% tariff on any country supplying Iran with military weapons on all goods sold to the U.S. He says there will be no exclusions or exemptions effective immediately. So if China or Russia or any of those countries attempts to supply Iran with military weapons, they're going to be slapped with this tariff that, of course, you know, will trickle down to us, the consumers. So hopefully that does not happen. But I want to make sure that you're updated here. Like I said, it's a very fluid situation. Everything is moving so quickly. I'm trying to keep up with it. I know you're trying to keep up with it. So hopefully, you know, within this 2 weeks, hopefully they can come up with some kind of deal because it is. It's like, you know, it's all over the place right now. Speaking of all over the place, I did want to get into Governor Wes Moore and his recent comments, not just on the juvenile charging bill, but Delegate Nino Mangione kind of brought it up, you know, as we were talking there about the latest drug bust in Wacomico County. And so we'll get into that in just a second. I do have a text here from Tina in Dundalk. Good morning, Tina. She says, have you heard about the fee that they are now putting on paint? A $1.15 a gallon going to a nonprofit that's not even registered in the state of Maryland. I can't make this up. Tina in Dundalk, I will take a look at that. You know, I did hear something about it. I wasn't sure of the details there, but I will go back and take a look. I'm sure if Glenn Gilhar, if you're listening, he'll send me a link over it. But I did hear somebody mentioning paint before. But you know what? They're trying to, honestly, it's like, you know, they're trying just to squeeze money in any possible way. And I, you know, every time I pass by all the construction on 695, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's now another, what is it called? Those cameras, what is that called? The cameras, the speeding cameras, the tolls. There's another one now when you're getting further down towards that 83 South exit. Say if you're going southbound on 695. Now there's another one. And those fines are very costly. You can pay up to close to $200 with those on 695. And so they're trying their best to squeeze every dime they possibly can out of us, which is, of course, a problem, but they don't care. They don't care at all. Now, we were speaking with Delegate Nino Mangione about the juvenile charging bill. This bill is a nightmare, but he was mentioning some of the comments that Governor Wes Moore has made in regards to this bill. Now, this bill is on his desk. Again, he's signing bills right now. That's why I said, you know, earlier
as of, I guess, at this point, close to 30 minutes ago, he did sign the budget. I assume the juvenile charging bill is also on Wes's desk, and I assume that he'll be signing it here shortly. But take a listen to his comments after he found out that this bill, after passing the Senate, did in fact pass the House. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the legislature, really understood the guidelines that I had, that we want to make sure we're increasing accountability and opportunity. I think this is feels like the right landing spot that they came to. I know it still has to go through judicial review, so it's with the Attorney General right now. But as it gets through judicial review, I'm looking forward to make it to my desk.
Okay, so it's judicial review. Okay, so it's with the AG right now, and then it'll go to his desk. You know, Here's the problem. He says it's in line with my agenda. Did you hear that part? That's the part that I heard the most. That was the loudest part. Okay. What is Governor Westmore's agenda when it comes to juveniles being rehabilitated or going through the system in the state? I would love to know. Because you had, you know, at that time, it was former Secretary of DJS Vincent Schiraldi. Things were all over the place with Vincent Schiraldi. Governor Westmore was urged by Democrats and Republicans to get rid of Vincent Schiraldi. He, you know, dragged his feet on that. Finally, we don't even know what the conclusion was on that, because Vincent Schiraldi said he left, right? Remember that? He said, I resign. He said, you can't fire me. I quit, right? We still don't know what happened. We still have no idea. What did they say? Oh, it's a personnel matter. It's not public information. It's a personnel matter. Meanwhile, all of those, you know, that are hired by the state, taxpayers, yeah, we're funding their salaries, but we're not allowed to know. Figure that one out for me. Anyways, so then now we've got Betsy Fox Tolentino. And as I said before, she comes out and she does interviews here and there. She sounds like a robot because she gets out there. And she, I told you that one interview I heard and I was shocked. But she was like, I want to thank the Moore and Miller administration for giving me the opportunity to. It was like, it was as if his spokesperson handed her a script. And she read it with this interview. And it was so, it sounded like AI, right? It didn't make any sense. You could tell that she's just going through all the bullet points. And that's my problem with Moore. It's like, what is your agenda? Because when you think about it, he's like, oh, we'll hold them more accountable this way. No, you won't. No, you won't. You have 14-year-old girls on ankle monitors right now, out and about, crashing stolen cars into police cruisers. Like, what are you talking about? She was charged as a juvenile, went to the juvenile system, now she's on an ankle monitor and still got out and still did all that drama. You had 11-year-old twins, we didn't really get to the details, they were, you know, breaking into cars across the state. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? What is your agenda? Is your agenda to allow juveniles to do whatever the hell they want? If that's the case, be upfront with us. Tell us the truth. Is this all because of the chip on your shoulder, Governor Moore, when you were arrested for your graffiti work? On, you know, by the way, it was the city-owned building, apparently, that he decided to tag with spray paint. And then he said, oh, well, you know, it was unjustified, and I was, you know, here I am, a black boy, I was put into cuffs. You broke the law, you idiot. And that's what gets me, too. This one gets me too. Just so you guys know, I was on the Right Squad on Friday last week with Newsmax, right? I went down, you go down to D.C. for the taping because you're all sitting at this table. And it's supposed to be like Fox News is the five, right? I don't think it's as popular. And so it's not really as popular. But, you know, I like to go down there and it's a great way to kind of debate because there's always a Democrat on the panel. Now, Jason Nichols, he's usually there, and I've known Jason Nichols for years. I used to debate him when we would do the Roland Martin show back in, like, 2015. Well, anyways, he's sitting there, and we were talking about the juveniles, kind of like we were talking to Dr. Oye yesterday, you know, running for city council in D.C., and for some reason, you know, it seems as though here are these black guys that have never had cuffs on their wrists, right? Jason Nichols, Dr. Oye, and so many others. But here you've got these black guys that do not commit crimes and most likely do not like to be profiled and stereotyped because they are black men. And here they are supporting allowing these young black men to commit these heinous crimes and have no accountability. I don't get it. Do they feel guilty? Is this similar to like the white guilt situation? Do you feel guilty being a black man in America and thriving and being successful? Is there a guilt level there? I don't get it. You know, the black men I know,
the black men in my life, whether it's my brothers, whether it was my dad, whether, you know, all the black men that I know, friends, they're all very successful. They all work very hard. They are raising families with good kids that are getting a great education. But for some reason, I don't know how this works out, but the black men in the commentary world and in the legislature, they all talk about, you know, giving these black men that are criminals chance after chance after chance. Why? You walk the fine line. You go to work every day. You don't commit crimes. Why do you want to continue the stereotype? I don't get it. Lock them up. They're giving black men a bad name and have been for decades. What is, I don't understand it. And it, you know, and this was a debate I had with Jason Nichols on Friday. It's like, dude, here you are, a successful commentator. He's a professor, by the way, also, at the University of Maryland. You know, crossed all his T's, dotted all his I's on the straight and narrow path. He wears a suit every time he shows up there to debate. He's a nice guy. He lives apparently in Ellicott City. His kids are thriving. Yet here he is saying, well, I don't think we shouldn't really lock these guys up. Why? Why not? And meanwhile, you know, when it talks about, you know, who these black men usually prey upon, it's those in the black community. It's us. It's the law-abiding black community. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I don't get it. I'm over it. I don't want people to look over their shoulder or clutch their bag tighter as a black man's walking past them on the sidewalk. You shouldn't have to go through that. It happens all the time. And I'm not talking about just with white people. I see black women do it all the time. If there's a group of black guys coming by, yeah, you kind of look twice. I don't know why we continue this cycle. Lock these kids up. Rehabilitate them while they're behind bars. Stop allowing these kids to get on ankle monitors and go out here and commit crimes further. And I don't know how many times now, what is it, the last 2 years? We read more and more about young black girls being involved in these crimes as well. You know they're being recruited. And if they're being recruited and they're around these criminal men, and it doesn't even matter what color they are, you're not thinking maybe they're being sexually assaulted or groomed? You absolutely, look, I bet your bottom dollar they are. We want our young black girls in that situation? Do we really? I don't. We got the phone lines here. I got Al in Woodlawn. Al, why can't we hold these kids accountable?
They don't want to, Kim. They don't want to hold it accountable. I mean, this state, I just don't understand why, you know, people will not admit to the fact, politicians, that this state encourages crime. They encourage juvenile delinquency. I mean, last year, 27 bills during the legislative session was brought up about juvenile crime. None of them got passed. This year, it's even worse. They're going to make it so juveniles, you know, now are being held accountable. And, Kim, you know, and I know you know me, you know my background. As soon as a couple of these teenagers get killed trying to carjack somebody, you know what the public's going to be screaming. Oh, they were on their way to choir practice. They were on their way to a revival meeting. You know, why didn't they shoot them in the arm? Why didn't they shoot them in the leg?
Right.
I mean, you know that's what's going to happen. And Kim, it's just, I mean, you know, people, you have got to take it upon yourselves. I mean, Kim, when I'm out in the street, I mean, last week I was out with my oldest, and he's in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm not going to mention the bank, but I was at a bank on Liberty and Rolling Road, and I'm just thankful I was at the ATM in the car. And Kim, I know you've met me. Kim, I got NRA stickers on my vehicle. The next thing I know, somebody's tapping on my window, a female tapping on my passenger side window. You know, fortunately I had my windows up, had my doors locked, you know, my son in the back seat, and all I kept saying was, I'm going to have to make a decision. Right here, right now, I'm going to have to make a decision. Yeah. You know, fortunately, I just pretended that the person was invisible. That's all I did, you know. But they don't, I mean, these people who vote against these laws, they got carry permits, they got protection, they live in gated communities. I mean, they're not living like on North and Greenmount or North and Harford Road or Pennsylvania Avenue. And it's just a shame, but, you know, that's just how it is in this state. They don't care. They don't care. Kim, real quick, I know you go to Free State. I heard there was an incident out there. You know, I hope everything was all right out there.
Yeah.
You know, I hope everything's all right.
Yeah, I have not talked, spoken to Brian yet, yeah. But I will talk to him soon.
I mean, I go to gun ranges a lot, me and my wife, and so many people now into shooting that, you know, they just don't know the rules and regulations, the courtesy. And also, there was also an incident a couple of months ago at Owings Mills Mall at the big gun range out there, where one of the instructors was teaching a class, and he pulled out his weapon and discharged the weapon in the classroom. So even in gun ranges, you know, you have to be aware. Kim, I'm going to let you go get some other calls. I'm enjoying my last couple of days off. You know,
all right. So. Well, take care and enjoy these days, Al. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in.
Take it easy. Be safe. And, you know, hang in there. Just, you know, just remember, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth.
If I can breathe in through my nose, Al,
I would. Kim. Hang in there.
All right. All right. Thanks, bye. Al. See ya. All right. We'll discuss more of that when we get back. I recommend AES Builders and Home Improvement because they truly care about the people they serve. From the first conversation to the final walkthrough, Shauna and Steven, the owners, now being almost 2 years, have majestically continued Shauna dad Tim Muntz's love and passion for helping to create your needs and your dreams. Their craftsmanship, attention to detail, and commitment to doing it right is why families have trusted AES since 1989, and I do too. AES's motto is still the same. They haven't changed it. When they're done, you'll be happy. If you're not happy, they're not done. So call AES Builders today. Don't delay. 410-574-4400, or you can visit their website online at aeshome.us.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
The Rob Carson Show.
We went through a hell of a lot during the 4 years that Joe Biden was president. When is somebody going to be held accountable for COVID? When is somebody being held accountable for not telling us the truth about it? When are people going to go to jail for opening our southern border and hundreds of thousands of children and women being trafficked for sex? And when are some people going to jail for opening the southern border to fentanyl, which killed 100,000 plus people per year in America?
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right. Now, I will not continue on my rant there. I will not. But I did want to just mention, you know, with Governor Wes Warren, I think he's going to sign the bill. So they're going to charge juveniles automatically just as juveniles, not as adults, even for gun, yes, weapon charges. Now, these juveniles shouldn't have weapons to begin with. And as far as I could remember, I thought it was a Democrat party that was all about gun control, background checks, and, you know, you name it. But when it comes to criminal juveniles, they just don't seem to care if they have guns. You see how it's so crazy to me? This is why I've asked so many different times. If you're still voting Democrat, I got to know why. Because it actually doesn't make any logical sense. And to continue that same vein, I did want to go over here to WBOC because they were talking about the drug bust. And this is what I wanted to share with you. A months-long multi-agency investigation to a major drug trafficking organization operating across Delmarva and beyond has resulted in more than a dozen arrests and the seizure of significant amounts of drugs, weapons, and cash. Now, the investigation, led by Worcester County Sheriff's Office Criminal Enforcement Team, and the Wicomico County Sheriff's Office targeted an alleged drug trafficking organization distributing narcotics throughout the Maryland's Eastern Shore, Virginia, Southern Delaware, and as far as Baltimore. Now, officials say that the investigation began in late 2024. It spanned roughly 15 months. During that time, investigators say they used surveillance, undercover operations, search warrants, and wiretapping involving 19 phones to identify key members and dismantle trafficking operations. Now, this is where it gets interesting. In total, authorities say 13 people have been arrested so far, with additional arrests and charges possible in the investigation. Among those charged are individuals accused of trafficking large amounts of narcotics, conspiracy to distribute drugs, and firearms-related offenses. One suspect is currently wanted. Now, according to authorities, they seized large quantities of drugs, including 42 kilograms of cocaine, 23 grams of crack cocaine. They're different? Cocaine and crack cocaine? I learned something new. And 36 fentanyl pills, marijuana, heroin, MDMA. I know that's ecstasy. And psychedelic mushrooms were all seized as part of the investigation. 11 firearms, $23,000 in cash, and 11 vehicles and 2 residences after more than 80 warrants were executed during the operation. Man, oh man. Now, with this, they were working with federal partners. And believe it or not, this actually took them down a path where they had to rely on ICE and Homeland Security because some of these individuals are allegedly a part of a gang and they are illegal immigrants here in the state of Maryland. Now, Governor Wes Moore yesterday, if you heard, he made an announcement about this drug bust and he touted it saying, "We will not allow these people to terrorize our communities." This is the same Governor Moore that on day one signed the 287G ban, and he's still going back and forth to Washington County wanting to put a stop to the possible ICE facility that will be erected there. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? Thank you to all of those, the police department, our federal partners, and all those that were able to bring this drug bust and these individuals down. But no thanks to you, Governor Wes Moore. You have been an impediment in this entire situation. We'll discuss more when we get back. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. It's a big day for world peace. The words of President Trump now that Iran has agreed to a 2-week ceasefire and negotiations over a longer-term peace proposal drafted by Tehran. One key aspect of the ceasefire calls for Iran to allow ships to pass safely through the Strait of Hormuz. And despite the ceasefire announcement, there have been reports of missile fire persisting this morning. And while Israel has agreed to the ceasefire with Iran, it is insisting it will not stop attacking Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. The ceasefire has fired up Wall Street, with stocks sharply higher this morning, and global markets have been soaring as well as oil prices drop sharply. Right now, the Dow is trading about 1,200 points higher for a gain of 2.5%. The Nasdaq up 613, and the S&P better by 150 points. More details, srnnews.com.
Hi, bird lovers. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Our bird food sale at Wild Birds Unlimited in Timonium and Columbia. I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Brian, and that's right. All of the food your birds love. Tea, peanut, suet, cylinders, bark butter, mealworm, and more are on sale now. Drop by and see us at Wild Birds Unlimited Timonium and now Columbia, or shop online at mywbu.com and save while you feed the birds.
Stop. Do not wait. Do not wait until it's too late. Crestlock.com specializes in transponder keys and remotes for most cars. Do not wait until you lose your last key or remote before you get a duplicate. Give Crestlock.com a call at 410-256-7800. That's 410-256-7800. And ask for Ashley. Or stop into our state-of-the-art showroom at 10015 Plaski Highway and get your transponder key or spare remote today at Crestlock.com.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Trevor Rogers remains legit.
2-2 for Hill. That's strike 3. Right in there for Trevor Rogers.
And strikeout number 5.
That's knocking a little paint right off the inside corner for Trevor Rogers.
Kevin Brown and Big Ben had the call on Masson. I used to call him the burly left-hander, but have you seen him lately? Now he's the slim left-hander. Either way, Rogers with 6 gritty innings in tough conditions yesterday. 2 runs allowed, didn't get the win, but allowed the Birds to win it late. 4-2 the final on a Gunnar Henderson 2-run shot. After the game, Rogers on the battle.
In terms of stuff, probably the worst one of the year. It was one that, you know, I had to bear down from, you know, after that 3rd inning on. I had to bear down, just grind through it, try to make pitches the best I could, and keep my team in it.
Rogers allowing 3 straight hits after getting the first 2 outs in the 3rd. White Sox plating both of their runs in that inning. National media weighing in on Lamar's attendance at the offseason workouts, which started on Monday. Former NFL player Emmanuel Acho on his podcast, The Speakeasy.
This is leadership at its finest by Lamar Jackson. Lamar ain't got to be there. He ain't got to be there because it's not punishable. He ain't got to be there because he's making enough money. And he ain't got to be there because it's not mandatory.
Stop. I'm sick and tired of this. It's not about Lamar having to be there. It's about should Lamar be there? Should he be having his coaches back? Should he be leading his team? If the answer is yes to any of those questions, then all this media hoo-ha about how great it is that Lamar actually took time out of his hard life to show up is part of the problem in the first place. Coming up in 30 minutes, Gunnar Henderson does it again. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Whitstat. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Whitstat. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are looking at a cool day ahead of us after a cold start. Bright sunshine this afternoon with highs in the low 50s. Mostly clear and chilly again tonight with lows dipping back into the mid-30s. Another round of sunshine coming our way on Thursday and a little bit milder with highs back in the upper 50s and low 60s. The 70s are back starting on Friday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Previously on Casey and Company, Governor Warren saying that he does not answer to the Democrat Party. He basically says he doesn't answer to the Democrat.
I don't answer party bosses. I answer to the only people who made me the governor of Maryland, which is the people of Maryland.
He said that with a straight face. He is doing the bidding of Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Hugh Schumer on the redistricting, trying to eliminate Republican representation here with Andy Harris's seat.
Start your morning with Maryland's wake-up call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're just talking about Governor Wes Moore and how hypocritical he is. And he seems to always be on the wrong side of these issues. Sounds like he will end up signing the juvenile charging bill, where they will basically allow juveniles, even those weapons charges, to go to juvenile court. Rather than being charged automatically as adults, and that would help out our prosecutors. So why Governor Moore wouldn't want to help our prosecutors across the state, which also helps you with public safety, who knows why? Who knows why? Maybe he's being paid not to help, you know? Also, we were talking about the latest updates in Iran. We'll continue to talk about those all throughout the show. I got a text from Doug earlier. He says, we should not have delayed the bombings, should have bombed until Iran asked them to stop. If the same regime stays in power, we cannot trust them. They will get their nuclear weapons. What was done will all be wasted. You know, Doug, a great point there. And we shall see what these negotiations bring. Like they mentioned, on Friday is supposedly the first meeting that they'll have in Pakistan. And so I'm sure on Monday we'll be talking about it. I did want to note real quick to you guys, they are now highlighting Iran's proposed 10-point plan. Just a couple things on here I just wanted to read to you. The U.S. must fundamentally commit to guaranteeing non-aggression. That's on the plan. Continuation of Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz. You know, that's not going to happen. That's number 2 on the list. Number 3, acceptance that Iran can enrich uranium for its nuclear program. That's not going to happen. Removal of all primary sanctions on Iran. That could possibly happen. I'm not sure. Number 5, remove of all secondary sanctions against foreign entities that do business with Iranian institutions. That might be a possibility. So, you know, the first 3 are non-starters, I would think. And so, you know, we'll continue to keep our eyes on this, and I'll get the 6 through 10 in here in just a second, but they're kind of mulling over this now on Fox News and trying to figure out, you know, where do they go from here with these negotiations. Now, I also wanted to mention, I saw, because of course I was on X, you know, all day yesterday trying to figure out, you know, what's going on in Iran. And I saw this post from Mayor Brandon Scott, and I just wanted to just share it with you because it was so stupid. I did. He posted yesterday, because we were talking about Governor Moore, you know, Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller and Mayor Scott. You know, they were talking about that housing near transit, you know, that whole situation. Well, they were then riding on the subways as part of, like, the photo op for that situation. Well, anyways, Mayor Brandon Scott posted that he is happy to start planning Baltimore around a subway system. Now, with this post, he says, you know, unlike other cities, we all know that Baltimore was not planned around a subway system, and that's going to change. All right, so the million-dollar condos that they're going to build there at the Inner Harbor, nothing says million-dollar condo like a city being built based on the subway station. And then, of course, everybody in the comments were commenting, saying, oh, great, now the juveniles could really get around and rob us at gunpoint. Oh, man. And then also imagine, you know, you're in one of these million-dollar condos and you think, you know what, maybe I will take the subway system now that the mayor's touting it. It's supposed to be so great. And here you are riding the subway with a meth addict from Nova East, Detroit, or the homeless guy. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And that's part of the problem. It's incompetency. It's not even, you know, look, it's not that, you know, Mayor Scott doesn't have the energy, right? He's always out and about. He's got the energy. I think he has the passion. He just doesn't have the brain. Like that part of the equipment's missing. Like, he's got the energy, but nobody's home upstairs. And then he doesn't listen to anybody else, right? You see how arrogant he is on all these press briefings. He doesn't listen to anyone else. I don't know if he has a mentor. I don't know if he has anybody that can, you know, just a little bit wiser, that could say, hey, Brandon, you know, if you're paying David Bramble all these tax dollars from the state level and the city level to build million-dollar condos, you might want to do something about the school system so the schools are up to par in that area for sure. Then you also might want to do something that doesn't, you know, cater to the broken. Because like I told you, his State of the City address, that's all I learned. That's all I got from it. He says, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to give more money for this. We're going to do programs like this and programs like that. He didn't talk about a thriving, successful community. All he talked about was handouts. You can't build million-dollar condos and expect them to sell in a city where all you do is collect tax dollars and then hand that money out to the quote-unquote underserved. That it's not going to work. Anyways, I wanted to share that with you guys. You know, staying right here in the city, you probably noticed right now, Baltimore City Council Councilman Mark Conway, he did introduce a bill. I guess City Council is going to mull over this to give the IG, Inspector General Isabel Cumming, more access and oversight. They're going to decide whether or not they will do it. I will just say this. You know, Democrats are so afraid of transparency in the state. It is just really suspicious, okay? You know, we know what's going on. I will say this. To any of those that vote against giving the IG more access and oversight, I would hope that you would have moderate Democrats, if not Republicans, that would come forth and primary those individuals in the next election. I would hope. Because this is not like a bipartisan issue. Either you want to be transparent or you don't. Now, of course, if they vote against it, now this might end up going still on the ballot and be a ballot measure. But just take notes of anybody that's against giving the IG more access and oversight to these documents, because these are whistleblowers that come forward to the IG and say, hey, there's shenanigans going on over here. I think you need to take a look at this. It's not like she's just making this up out of thin air. She's working off of whistleblowers and people that contact her office that work within these city agencies. Anyways, I just wanted to note that. Also, Federal Hill, Federal Hill residents, you guys are so cute. Federal Hill is now voicing frustration again with their votes. Kidding. They're not voicing frustration with their votes. They're voicing frustration with the crime and violence. Same thing, though. Same thing, but different. Right now, you've got those at Federal Hill that are so upset with the crime. I want you to take the listen to the audio, and then on the other side, we'll talk about it.
This was a chance for people here to talk about public safety challenges, especially in the wake of that deadly shooting that happened here over the weekend.
We're all just fed up with the amount of crime.
Tuesday evening, several Federal Hill residents gathered at Federal Hill Park to express their feelings on public safety in the area.
We love the neighborhood, but we just don't love what's happening with the crime. We keep hearing that crime is decreasing. We don't feel that's the case at all. Seems like every week there's something new that's happening, whether that's in the entertainment district or somewhere else here in the residential areas.
They brought up several different concerns, but all of this comes after police say that someone was shot and killed along Key Highway around 2:40 on Sunday morning.
We're hearing from neighbors who are anxious, they're fearful. The homicides here come in addition to other challenges we're experiencing. We've already experienced 32 assaults year-to-date here in Federal Hill.
Jen Covino is the public safety chair of the Federal Hill Neighborhood Association, which helped organize this meeting. Several public officials were there to hear from residents, such as Senate President Bill Ferguson and Councilman Zach Blanchard, who represents this district.
A lot of different public safety challenges in the neighborhood. And I take all of them very seriously. We're working on all of them.
Police were also there to take questions from the public.
There is a layered approach of various portions of the Baltimore Police Department that are here serving the Federal Hill community with the concerns that have been brought up.
Covino says they're asking for a combination of resources and strategies to be implemented.
We're looking for them to enforce current laws and curfews and statutes that are on the books. This park's supposed to be closing at dusk every night, and so we're hoping that we'll see more enforcement. We're also looking for some common sense solutions, like ensuring that our schools are secure.
Now, Councilman Blanchard told me that he's convened a group of stakeholders to focus on late-night public safety, to take a holistic approach to that, and they'll meet every 2 weeks. And on top of that, he also told me that he's working with the mayor's office to install physical deterrents to help deal with the dirt bike riding. As for Sunday's homicide, I reached out to police at last check. They're still looking for the shooter. They're asking anyone who knows anything to give them a call. Kyrie Stewart, TV 11 News.
Look, if you live in Federal Hill and you voted against this, I feel bad for you. I do. But most of those in Federal Hill voted for this, okay? And so, you know, it's so interesting when you hear the comment, like, that didn't used to happen over here. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. You can also text me. No, it didn't used to happen over there, Sharon. But guess what? Guess what? You voted for a more equitable neighborhood. You voted for that equality. You voted to make your neighborhood look just like Carrollton Ridge, just like Sandtown Winchester. You voted for this. Harlem Park, this is what you wanted. Don't you get it? What did you think Mayor Brandon Scott was saying? He's saying that he was going to reimagine public safety. That's what he did. So in his little imagination, in his four-year-old brain, what he did is he decided that he's going to spread the crime and the chaos out throughout the entire city. Now neighborhoods that usually cater to tourists or businesses or predominantly white, now they're all going to feel what they've been feeling in West Baltimore, Park Heights, their entire lives. Congratulations, you played yourself. You played yourself. And then they have these meetings, and they invite, you know, the councilman, Zach Blanchard. He's not doing anything. He says, I hear your concerns. I do. I hear them. We hear them, too. Let's say like Baltimore. We hear them, too. Look, it's sad, but it's what you wanted. You got exactly what you voted for. So all of you in Federal Hill with the Black Lives Matter signs in your yard, this is what you asked for. All right? Black lives matter, right? Even the black criminals' lives. They matter too. And here you are. Now you're going to have to deal with it. And so even though you heard one of the residents there, she says, you know, the mayor says crime's going down, but it's only going up here. No kidding. No kidding. This is equitable. This is public safety reimagined. And unfortunately for you, there's many of us, like myself, that kind of just shrug our shoulders on it. You even voted for Zach Blanchard. You had another option on the ballot. Yes, you did. You decided to ignore it. because you wanted to go with that progressive that's against Trump and illegal immigration is okay. That's what you decided to do. You voted overwhelmingly for Mayor Brandon Scott. You had options. You could have chosen Sheila Dixon. You didn't even have to vote Republican. Sheila Dixon has always been about public safety. You went with Mayor Scott. You voted for this. And now you're out here complaining. And I have to tell you, not a whole lot of people give a damn. Sorry, not sorry. And it's you know, the Federal Hill area, it's like, you know, these are the individuals that are always online. They're always posting. They're the ones with that, what is that group, Bike More, right? Bike lanes are so important. That's what you did. You put all that other stuff, all that other nonsense above your own safety. Yeah, it's hard to ride a bike around when you got people shooting up in your neighborhoods. It is. It's difficult, isn't it? How are those bike lanes coming? How are all those bus lanes coming? How are all those green spaces? Do you feel great utilizing those things? Knowing that you can be shot at any moment? The move to opportunity happened there, right? Now you've got drug dealers right on the same block as you. They're affording the same row home you are. Crazy. I bet they paid all cash. We got the phone lines here. I got Bill in Columbia. Hey, Bill.
Thank you for taking my call. I think you've already stolen my thunder. The reality is that probably most of the residents of Federal Hill, as most of the residents in Baltimore, are very progressive liberal people. They have voted for politicians who, in the terms of prioritizing issues, public safety is at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, and then they supported him overwhelmingly. I mean, Bill, I doubt that they're going to get any relief there. I guess we'll have to see if they vote differently next election cycle, yeah?
I would assume that they would. Look, I've made this point before, and it's very un-PC to say it. The crackdown on crime in Baltimore, any other inner city, sadly, it would be a crackdown on Black America, Black Americans living there, particularly right now, the youth. And I don't see that that's something that is politically viable, the city of Baltimore or any city in the United States.
Great point, Bill, because, yeah, they're not going to do it. They're going to always see them as victims, even if they are the criminals. And I don't think it's getting any better. Bill, thank you so much for weighing in. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, Bill's right. And, I would say Bill, sometimes he calls in and he says, yeah, Kim, I don't agree with you on that one. But he's right. And we agree here, because if you looked at the precinct numbers for Federal Hill, overwhelmingly, they vote for these quote unquote progressives. They support illegal immigrants in their communities. And I would think that a lot of these crimes, especially those surrounding those illegal immigrants, we heard about, remember that time where there was a bunch of them that were like Uber Eats drivers or something, like the food delivery drivers, and they jumped off the mopeds and stuff, and they started fighting and everything. I guarantee you there are many crimes that we don't even hear about over there. And sometimes they probably do involve illegal immigrants, because, again, in that area, that's where Zeke Cohen was. Remember, he was talking about the population increasing when he was on his way into the Baltimore City County President or Baltimore City President's office. He was talking about it increasing, and he was only able to point to illegal immigrants moving in, nothing else. And so there were Democrats, even on X at the time, that were calling him out on that. Because that's what it is. It's an illegal immigrant community that has moved in to that district. And it's not even legal immigrants. Nope. It's not, you know, whether you're thinking, because there's a lot of middle-class Black families, there's a lot of middle-class white families that are leaving Federal Hill. They have ruined it. The same thing with Canton. We talked about Smashburger that was robbed. The same thing with Fells Point. And they overwhelmingly vote for the people that leave it just as it is. And so Zach Blanchard, he was endorsed by Zeke Cohen, and I reached out to Zach. He didn't want to come on the show. I mean, I understand why. But I reached out and say, hey, maybe you could come on and tell people how you're going to be a little bit different when it comes to, you know, safety, public safety. He just, you know, wouldn't respond. And, you know, he's actually, I have up here his website, a Marine. He's, you know, a veteran. He was the president of the neighborhood association over there, high school football coach. Those in that community, know they knew exactly what they were voting for. And they did it anyways. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up this conversation. But I do just wanted to go through a couple of Zach Blanchard, that's the councilman there, his policy points. And I just want to reiterate to those in Federal Hill, this is how you got here. All right. Now, Chris, I got your text message. It says, Kim, a tugboat is sinking out by the Key Bridge. I do see that right now being reported by Fox 45. You know, that's another situation. In case you missed it, Baltimore Fireboats, they are responding to a sinking tugboat in Curtis Creek. They got the pictures and the videos up as well. All right, we get back. We'll wrap up this conversation. Don't forget, we've got our guest coming up at 11 o'clock.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Massive tax increases, skyrocketing utility bills, criminal illegals roaming free in the state. It must stop now. Go to WCBM.com and sign our state petition. Send a message to our elected leaders that they need to listen to voters and stop the tyranny of one-party rule. Go to WCBM.com and send an SOS for a real change.
WCBM reaches all types of entrepreneurs, businesses, associations, and specialists. Now is your chance to explain live, by the way of your own radio show, exactly how your business or association can benefit the WCBM listener through your own show. You control the dialogue. You control the subject matter. You control your own results. This is a great opportunity that WCBM can give to you. For more information, call Andy Grimshaw or visit WCBM.com. Stay connected and informed with the latest news at the top of every hour. Then talk about it.
Wouldn't you like a little excitement for a change?
On Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All right, we were talking about the fact that Federal Hill in Baltimore City is much more dangerous than it was, you know, not even 5 years ago. And Zach Blanchard is now the city councilman there. It used to be Zeke Cohen's seat. And things were getting worse under Zeke Cohen, too. Again, this is District 11, but he wouldn't admit it. You know, I would call him out all the time. We even had him on the show that one time, and he was filibustering the whole time. He didn't want me to really ask him any questions. But on Zach Blanchard's website, if you go to his website, you can see that he doesn't have many policy issues on there, right? Which is, I think, by design. It talks about him. There's lots of pictures of his beautiful family. He's got a very beautiful wife and son. And then it just talks about, you know, a vibrant, safe Baltimore. That's kind of like all it says. And so you have to go to like his Facebook page, all right, to get anything else from him, because then he posts here. But, you know, in May of 2024, he says, I'm fighting for a city full of safe, vibrant, and good neighborhoods that our neighbors want to stay in and our kids will want to raise their kids in. Here are some of the policies I'll support to achieve that goal. He says, vacancy tax. Baltimore City has over 13,000 abandoned homes. It costs the city $200 million a year. And so he wants to solve that by increasing property taxes on vacant and blighted properties. Okay. When it comes to the youth, here's what he said. For our future, for our safety, for our economy, we have to do a better job of giving our young people opportunities to play a positive role in our neighborhoods. I'll fight for better vocational training, after-school programs, and school sports. I'll fight for inclusionary housing so working families aren't trapped in concentrated poverty. As a Digital Harbor High School football coach, you can trust my focus on young people won't end on election day. So, a lot of the bashing of the cars, right? Those stolen vehicles, those that are carjacked, you know, just all the things that are happening, being robbed at gunpoint in that area. A lot of it is a part of the crisis we see across the country with the juveniles that are out of control. And so what Zach Blanchard has offered back in 2024 is the same thing that we heard from Dr. Oye yesterday from D.C. They want to do youth programs. They want to do rec centers. They want to do movie night. They want, you know, but and this is the same thing. We're not stupid here, right? the kids that want to take advantage of those things, they will. They absolutely will. There are kids that are not criminals that are in unfortunate situations where, you know, they are in underserved communities and maybe their parents aren't really involved. And that does happen, right? Those kids will take advantage of these things. But if you only address the good kids and don't address the bad ones, then you will continue with the same crisis that you see every day. And so, yes, as Bill of Columbia pointed out, Federal Hill, until they actually deal with the problem and the actual crime and stop trying to sugarcoat it like they're Willy Wonka, they're never going to get to the bottom of it. And they're never going to improve the issue. And now you've got a bill headed to Governor Westmore's desk where they will charge juveniles as juveniles only unless the prosecutors can get them pushed up to the adult court. And as Marty pointed out, he said, is anybody going to ask any of the candidates running for governor about judicial appointments? The prosecutors could be in a situation where they can't kick these heinous crimes up to adult court. And then you got the same problem that you have, but only worse. And there you have it. All right, coming up next, we'll move from Baltimore City over to Baltimore County with our guest. I'm meeting her for the first time as well, Jacqueline Stevenson. She'll be in studio with us. She's running in District 8 in Baltimore County. Obviously, there are three delegate seats there and a state Senate seat as well. But there are lots of candidates running in this district. I think they've overdone it on their recruiting efforts. So now they've got lots of candidates. So coming up next, we'll speak to Jacqueline Stevenson. Also, we'll check back some of the updates out of Iran. I'll get some more of the points from Iran's proposed plan. And MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene's seat has officially been filled. They had the special election. I'll tell you about Clay Fuller and so much more. Stay right there.
You've planned for everything, your retirement, investments, and even your next vacation. But a plan for long-term care? Not so much. Let's face it, no one wants to think about needing care someday, but ignoring it? That's not a strategy. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that helps you stay in the home you love and maintain the lifestyle you love while securing the care you may need later. Visit our website, wesleysecurecare.org, or give us a call, 410-324-2400, to learn more.
If you're taking a closer look at your financial future, now is the time to talk with someone you trust. Own a business and want to understand your valuation or start planning an exit strategy? Maybe you want a fresh set of eyes on your investment portfolio. That's where Tim Herb, financial advisor at RBC Wealth Management, comes in. Tim explains things clearly, helps you build a plan, giving you confidence and moving forward. Connect with Tim Herb, RBC Wealth Management. Take the next step toward a more secure financial future.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC. This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rick Thomason. Stock markets worldwide rocketing higher as oil prices tumble following word of the two-week U.S.-Iran ceasefire, allowing for further negotiations and a reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump calls it a big day for world peace. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane quick to remind Iran that the U.S. military is not going anywhere.
Let us be clear, a ceasefire is a pause, and the joint force remains ready if ordered or called upon to resume combat operations.
As the countdown continues to America's 250th birthday this July 4th, interest in God's providence over the life of our nation is on the rise. Author Cynthia Scott says key moments in our history, from the time of the Pilgrims and Puritans right up to today, clearly point to God's influence over America.
I have to say that in terms of the topic of this book, which is God's hand on the founding of America, there's great interest because I think it's history that we've not been taught. So I do see a great interest in what God has done in America, and there's a great interest for people to know it. There's a hunger for the truth.
Cynthia Scott is author of the book Celebrating God, our founder, at America's 250th birthday, and she hopes the volume will make documented scripture-based prayer part of history for all Americans. President Trump says the U.S. will work with Iran to dig up enriched uranium. It was buried by last summer's airstrikes. And the president, while not mentioning China or Russia by name, threatens punishing tariffs on any country that tries to rearm Iran during the ceasefire. Georgia's 14th congressional district seat to remain in Republican hands, Clay Fuller has won a special runoff election, filling the seat vacated by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Checking in on Wall Street now, the Dow is up 1,071 points. The Nasdaq ahead 559, the S&P 140 points higher. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Just hearing the word IRS can make people break out in a cold sweat. No one wants to deal with the IRS, and now you don't have to. The good news is Legal Tax Defense has been successfully negotiating with the IRS for more than 15 years. It doesn't matter how much you owe, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million, you deserve the best in the business on your side, and that is Legal Tax Defense. Even if you're working with someone else and just want a second opinion, there is no cost or obligation to call. They can prevent levies, liens, wage garnishments, even file back tax returns. And the best news about Legal Tax Defense is they won't take your case unless they know they will reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call Legal Tax Defense right now for a free, no-risk consultation. 800-292-7875. 800-292-7875. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain. 800-292-7875.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. Baltimore County Police say one of their officers and a civilian suffered non-life-threatening injuries in a Tuesday afternoon crash. The accident happened at around 3:30 p.m. on Liberty Road near Pikeswood Drive in Randallstown. The officer and the other driver were taken to the hospital for treatment. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. And a Thursday groundbreaking is set for a grain transloading facility at Seagirt Marine Terminal. According to the Baltimore Sun, the facility will be used as a full-service grain elevator, and it will include three storage silos that can hold 60,000 bushels of corn, soybeans, and grain products. Ports America Chesapeake says the $10 million investment will drive growth and efficiency in exports and make Maryland farmers more competitive. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and one of the owners at Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balanced care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore and Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. As doctors of audiology, we care for patients' hearing and balanced care. If you feel like the TV is louder than your family would like, or if you're asking family members to repeat themselves often, it is time to have your hearing evaluated by a doctor of audiology. Our doctors treat a wide range of hearing issues. Sometimes a solution is as simple as removing wax from your ear canal. So call our main number at 410-944-3100, or you can visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, and hearing aids may be covered as well. So call our office at 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates, when silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. Big-time home run for Gunnar Henderson.
1-1 for Gunnar. Taylor Ward at second. And this ball jacked to right field. Well struck.
Hill racing back. It's gone! Left on left, Gunnar Henderson slams the Orioles in front.
Big time. Big time. Leave it up to the kid, folks.
Kevin Brown at Big Ben McDonald had the call on Masson. Henderson's two-run shot broke a 2-2 tie in the eighth. And Ryan Helsley closed it out as the Birds take two in a row from the White Sox. 4-2 was the final yesterday. After the game, Gunnar on the at-bat that decided the game.
I felt like I was seeing the ball pretty well and just had nothing to show for it, and then was able to get one and didn't come through for the team. And a chance to not go to extras would have been great because how cold it was.
How cold it was 34 degrees. Feels like temp was in the 20s. More daytime baseball for you today at 2:10 p.m. with Kyle Bradish on the hill. Today's game time temperature, a not too shabby 61. Meanwhile, the Ravens' fresh start in 2026 will include new uniforms to be unveiled at a PSL event a week from tomorrow at Merriweather Post Pavilion. It's the first time in 26 years that the Ravens have unveiled new uniforms. Coming up in 30 minutes, national media weighs in on Lamar. And that is Stein on Sports.
Johns Hopkins is seeking individuals age 60 and older who are experiencing mild memory issues to participate in a research study funded by the National Institute on Aging. The research aims to explore the connection between stress and memory. Participants will need to visit Johns Hopkins Bayview twice now with a follow-up visit in 2 years. You may receive up to $300 compensation for your time. If you're interested, please call 410-550-2036. That's 410-550-2036.
WCBM News Time, 11:06. Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got bright sunshine today with temperatures in the cool low 50s. Mostly clear and chilly again tonight as temperatures fall back into the mid-30s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
42 degrees in Bel Air, 38 in Edgemere, and 38 in Ellicott City. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Man, happy Wednesday. Is it the middle of the week? It's the middle of the week. We didn't bob a run. That's one thing. That's a good news. That's a good news for this morning. We were talking about the ceasefire. Don't forget, that's going on for 2 weeks, according to the Trump administration. They're going to have negotiations in Pakistan on Friday, so we'll follow that story and all the updates. We're also talking about Governor Wes Moore and the fact that he did sign the budget this morning. That did happen. And then also he most likely will sign the juvenile charging bill. That is first going to the AG's desk, and then it'll make it to the governor's desk. And we'll find out whether or not they're going to automatically charge juveniles as juveniles, even when they have a weapons charge or some of these other charges that usually send them to adult court. So if you're just joining us, I got to ask you, where the heck have you been? We were also talking about the crime and violence in Federal Hill. The residents are getting exactly what they voted for. I'm not really sad about it, I have to be honest. I'm not sad at all. But, you know, they are complaining. And so, you know, now this is going to be another issue, I'm sure, for Mayor Brandon Scott, especially as the weather gets warmer. But let's head out of Baltimore City and into Baltimore County. I want to talk about District 8, not just because I live there, a little bit of bias here, not just because I live there, but because we have some great candidates running for the House seats and the state Senate seat as well. This morning, I'm happy to be joined in studio with Jacqueline Stevenson. Good morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Hi, Kim. Good morning to you. I'm doing well. Oh,
good. First, I always say you're so beautiful, Jacqueline. Beautiful and intelligent, and that's what we need, all right?
Thank
we
you.
Love it. We love it. Jacqueline, I know that we are meeting for the very first time, so I don't know a ton about your background, but maybe you can help us out.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Baltimore City. A lot of my childhood education was through Baltimore City Public Schools. I went to college remotely, studied globally in industrial organizational psychology, applied behavior analysis, and clinical mental health counseling. I'm currently pursuing my PhD in cyber psychology. I own a couple businesses, so I'm an entrepreneur. I'm also the founder of a 501c3 corporation supporting strengthening communities through workforce development, mental health access, and civic engagement. So heavily involved in community and
And you're also a mom?
Oh, yes. That's the deeper personal side. Yes, I am a mother of four. I have two beautiful daughters and two beautiful sons, and I also have two amazing bonus children as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. See, kids, that's the part. I think many people find that relatable. So to know that you have a big family, that's also great. And Jacqueline, of course, you were just telling us more about your experience. But, you know, now that you're looking at what's going on in Annapolis, it sounds like you've got a lot of job experience as we're talking about some of these juvenile behavioral issues and some of these bills. What experience do you think you've had that helps you as you're knocking doors and talking to those in the community in hopes that they will be able to vote for you going to Annapolis?
Well, you know, what I've recognized is that a lot of us want the same thing. We want safe communities. We want schools that our children are thriving and receiving an education where they are excelling in excellence, not struggling to read and calculate basic math. That's a problem, you know, and I think about it just from an economic standpoint. If we look farther in the future, this is going to hurt these children as adults trying to get jobs. So it's like, well, a lot of our legislation is built on currently, from what we see, party rivalry, as opposed to what's effective and efficient to support these communities. That's what the delegates in each district's role is to really do. But a lot of decisions are not data informed.
No, absolutely not. And we had state's attorneys that went to Annapolis to tell our legislators that this juvenile charging bill was a bad idea. They still didn't listen to it. So you're absolutely correct on that. Real quick, before we go any further, when it comes to District 8, the major neighborhoods in District 8, just so people know exactly if they can vote for you or not, or you'll appear on their ballot, this District 8, what does that encompass?
Yeah, it is the East Towson along Providence Road, Parkville, parts of Kearney, White Marsh, Nottingham, Perry Hall, parts of Middle River, and Overlee. So it's a broad district, really.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I will say a lot of us have the same issues. You know, I'm in Middle River, mm-hmm. and, you know, I know that, you know, some of my friends in Perry Hall and Parkville, they're starting to see the same issues, whether it's the schools or whether it's an uptick in crime and violence. So it's always the same, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you know, as you, you know, hopefully head to Annapolis, what would be your first priority?
So That's a tough question, because I have, I would say, three top priorities.
Well, you give us all three. That's fine.
One is education. You know, being as though through my 501c3 corporations, we've advocated for families in Baltimore County schools dealing with lots of negligence and many other things. And when children are being expelled from school but aren't being provided the proper supports to succeed in school, you know, or they're reaching out for support and being dismissed, knowing these children are susceptible to getting into conflicts and things like that. So then we go to state agencies, because the local agencies are not taking accountability and handling these things and keeping our kids safe. And the state's like, oh, well, the local agencies do. It's like, that's a problem right there. That's a gap there that needs to be fixed. Families deserve, if you are going to be requiring our children to go to schools, you better be keeping them safe. And that has not been the case lately. So that is a area right there that I want to target. More transparency, because families deserve, these are our children, you know, and they treat us like, oh, no, you got to protect them from the parents. What? No, you know. Economics. Our economy is like our businesses in our state. The states are working against the businesses. It's like they should be partners in a lot of the work. Our procurement should be fulfilling needs that address the communities and allow us to produce more funding. Right now, money's just going down the drain. It's just going out and going out. We need to redo this budget so that we can effectively make investments that produce more returns. And we're not seeing the outcomes right now. It's poor reflected right now. And we're not really gaining in Maryland. And then lastly, mental health care. Like, there's a huge gap. And mental health is a significant crisis right now in the state and the country alone, you know. And me working in this industry and working with families and children that have, you know, need mental health support, I see the gaps in care and the quality that is not being provided, which makes all of the funding we're investing into health care partially inefficient, because the quality is poor. So we need to increase more oversight on the quality of care in our communities and in Maryland.
All right. Again, we're speaking to Jacqueline Stevenson. We are in studio. She's running in District 8 for the House seat. Now, Jacqueline, I will say a lot of things that you just mentioned would cost a lot of money, I would assume. So, you know, you just had Governor Moore this morning sign the budget. It's already, I think they said, $72 billion. As we're seeing the population decrease, our money, our spending's increasing. You know, what was your initial reaction to the budget this session? But also, you know, with those programs, are there things that we can, you know, work them into so that we're not, you know, increasing spending in any way? Or are there things that we can take off the books? Like, what was your thought there?
Great question. So would it cost us more money, or are we able to effectively use the money that we're putting into it to achieve these outcomes? And that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like we need to throw more money at it. I think we need to first assess where the money is going and efficiently draft these contracts to align with what we're trying to achieve in these outcomes. You know, we have superintendents over a four-year contract will earn close to over $1 million. And you're telling me for the last few decades, it's led to our children not being able to read? Okay, that means we are totally doing something incorrectly as it relates to how we're spending and investing these funds. So I don't look at it like it's going to increase. I actually look at it like we need to make some adjustments and reappropriations.
Yeah, so then I guess you would be for an inspector general on the state level, and then would you be for an inspector general to provide oversight on the schools?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Absolutely. But I also feel like there needs to be a equitable process in who is selected to oversee that, right? Because we don't want to run into the same problems that we have, you know, where
what do you mean by equitable process?
So, for instance, right now, look at our current General Assembly, right? There's an imbalance of power right now, which is contributing to a lot of the issues we currently see, right? So if we're putting someone in position, maybe we're appointing them because they're a friend or they've been in the position for years, that doesn't mean that they're efficient in what they're doing. You have people sitting in these positions and are ineffective in their leadership and are not doing their job as they should be doing to produce effective outcomes, you know? So that's what I mean by equitable, if we're going to assign someone to be that chief of oversight for that, you know. So I'm totally for it. But I do believe that we need to put safeguards in play so that, guardrails in place so that it's equitable.
Okay. And another big topic, obviously, here in the state of Maryland. Also, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Jacqueline Stevenson, running in District 8. Jacqueline, we're also talking about illegal immigration. What is your stance on illegal immigration?
So, we are in our 250th year of independence from having a king ruling our country, our nation, right? So when you think about that as the real reality of living in a country, we have to think about the safety of our nation. So that's my first priority in view as I think about immigration and the access to living the American dream, right? I'm all for it. However, there needs to be proper protocol in going about it. You can't just do it illegally. And when we defend this as a country, we show the enemies who would love to take over America and gain from our profits that, oh, these are weak areas right here that we can slip in and dominate. We already have a lot of it currently taking place in our country because of a lot of the past treason that has occurred and has not been addressed, you know? So it's things like that when I think about immigration. You know, I feel like there also needs to be a process in place where the American citizens' hard-earned revenue is invested in the American citizens and immigrants who we have allowed to come here and work and gain. And, you know, how about we appropriate maybe taxes and funding from that group to support that area of our concern, you know? So I just think that it's just we are not prioritizing American citizens and we're forgetting that that is our duty as Americans. And anyone that comes to America, baby, you are here now. You need to represent America. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can be proud of your own country and all those things. That's amazing. But don't come here and, like, just discredit or, you know, shame ours. No, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you want them to become citizens. You know, if you come here, you got to go through the correct process. And,
absolutely.
And take the citizenship test. And also, okay, so are you, do you support the 287G ban?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you would vote, well, you know, now it's very tough with the Democrats in the majority, as you know. I did wonder if whether or not we could propose a bill that could assist, maybe not, you know, overturning the 287G ban, because I don't think we'll ever get there in the Republican Party, you know, anytime soon. But maybe there's a bill that we could introduce to continue to help our local law enforcement work with those federal partners. Jacqueline Stevenson, we're going to take a break here, but I wanted to make sure those that are listening, if you have either a website or a way that people can follow you online.
Yes. So my website is www.jacquelinestevenson.com. And on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you can catch me on @VoteJackieStevenson. That is Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-E, Stevenson with a V.
All right. And it is not lost on me, Jacqueline, that you are a black woman. And I, when we get back, I want to ask you about your story, because I had a story on how I became a Republican, because I didn't start out that way. Maybe you did. I don't know. But when we get back, we'll talk about it. Everybody, stay right there. Real quick. Imagine losing the ability to hear someone say, I love you, or the ability to hear a compliment. How about just hearing the birds chirp, your favorite song, conversation with old friends, or Kim Klasick live? Losing your hearing takes a toll on you physically, emotionally, and socially. Now, this kind of suffering sounds familiar, and I hope it doesn't. But no matter what your age, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100. You see, Dr. Melissa Segev and her team take a gentle and empathetic approach for each patient's treatment plan, and they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Audiology Associates is a trusted name in Maryland and have been for over 45 years. They have offices throughout the Baltimore metro area for your convenience. So all you have to do is call 410-944-3100, or you can go online at www.aaiaudiology.com. When silence is not golden, call Audiology Associates at 410-944-3100.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Winstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hey, thanks, Kim. It's attorney Rod Winstadt. You know, I've been advertising with you for some time now, but I want your listeners to know that I can help them with many different legal matters. I advertise here because I want to help your listeners with affordable legal representation. Again, when you call me, you get me.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today. To schedule a free consultation.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, District 8, listen up. If you're in Baltimore County, we've got a candidate here, hopefully going to the House in Annapolis, Jacqueline Stevenson. She's in studio with us. And Jacqueline, I did ask you before the break, because for me, I wasn't always sure about the fact that I am a Republican. Back in 2008, my mom convinced myself and my brothers to vote for Barack Obama, and that's what we did. And then by 2009, I was like, oh man, what the hell did I just do? And so I was like, I got to figure this out. And that's because I wasn't really paying attention to politics. So I wanted to ask you, because, you know, you don't see a lot of black women in the Republican Party. I wanted to ask you, you know, I know it's a little personal, but did you have a moment, or were you always a Republican?
Great question. So I actually was a registered as a Democrat prior to about 2014, which I like to call the Trump era, right? And after that, I just saw a lot of things that I decided I'm going to just be independent. So I was unaffiliated up until recently when I decided to run. And I thought long and hard about which party I wanted to represent when I went into this race. And I believe that there's a need for more representation in the Republican Party. As you just mentioned, there's not many black women, right? And if there are, their voices aren't as loud and bold and intellect. I believe that I can bring so much to the Maryland General Assembly, and I'd rather do it representing the Republican Party, because, you know, I just I don't want to go into the other party. Some of the policies that have been proposed, I don't really support. You know, things with children and the gender-affirming things. Like, I believe our children should be protected. You know, the illegal immigration stuff. I believe that we are completely disregarding public safety. And, you know, it's just certain things I'm just not for, and I believe that we could do better, and I just decided the Republican Party more aligned with, you know, getting things done.
Okay, so your values and your principles are aligned with the Republican Party.
A lot more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping there's a lot of people, not just in District 8, but all over the country that can see that as well. Because I always hear this from people on the left. They say the left left us, right? They went so far left that they're no longer a part of it. And I've mentioned this before. I used to, you know, even going around, I do events across the country with my PAC. And I used to always give this one speech right out the gate. And it was always funny to see everybody's faces because it was the opening monologue for JFK in the 1960 debate. And I, you know, here I am, a Republican, giving the JFK speech. And then I would look across the room and everybody's clapping and they're applauding and they're like, this is so great. And I'm thinking, and then I say, do you know who originally gave this speech? And they all just sit there and they look at me and I'm saying, JFK, mm-hmm. a Democrat in 1960. That's how far left that party has gone, and even the Republican Party, we've gone even towards the left at this point. And so, you know, people that are shocked and are like, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, we really got to take the steering wheel and turn it back to the right and switch directions.
And, you know, let me just state this, like, I'm not pro-Republican, pro-Democrat, any of that. Honestly, had our economy and our legislative system been a lot more structured a lot differently, where an independent individual could run and actually win and represent inside the Maryland General Assembly, that's probably how I would go, because of what you just mentioned. Both parties have so much turmoil that it almost feels like you're forced into one or the other just to represent and support your communities. And that's a challenge, and it's unfortunate, you know. Just like our current voting process, it's not okay that it's not open election.
For independence.
Period. Open election in general. Imagine, if you're registered as a Democrat, you only get to get Democratic candidates on your ballot in the primaries. If you're registered as a Republican, you only get Republican candidates on your ballot. Wait a minute. You're taking away people's right to choose outside of a party. What if maybe for county council, I want a Republican candidate that I believe will do an amazing job, right? Because these are people. A party is not a person. A person is an individual, you know? Or what if maybe for state delegate, I'd rather have this Democrat or Republican. I should be able to vote either way and not be restricted to voting one way, you know.
All right. Well, we're running out of time here, so you want people to know that you're really more of an independent running in the Republican Party.
No, I'm running as a Republican because I made that decision to.
Okay, so you did make that decision.
Absolutely.
So you're not more of an independent. You're more of a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, here we got a minute left. Jacqueline Stevenson, why should Baltimore County vote for you?
Because you actually have a candidate that is educated and understands policy and the impact policy have on people. A businesswoman who can produce and help multiply income as opposed to constantly robbing the citizens of their hard-earned money, you know? So you have someone that's actually in the community doing the work already, and that will expand this impact.
All right. And Jacqueline Stevenson, if you could, give us your website again. If people want to listen, they want to donate to you, and then how can they follow you online?
Thank you, Kim. So, again, my website is www.jacquelinestevenson.com. And if you want to support my campaign, you can do so on the website as well at www.jacquelinestevenson.com.
All right, Jacqueline Stevenson, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before the primary.
Thank you, Kim.
Absolutely. We'll come back. We'll talk about this interview. And then also, we got a few more things to talk about. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump is applauding the two-week U.S.-Iran ceasefire, although it apparently has yet to fully take effect. On a visit to Hungary, Vice President Vance says a dealing with the Iranians can be quite complicated, to say the least. Israel says the ceasefire will not keep it from striking Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. Word of the truce has sent global stock markets sharply higher, Wall Street sharply higher as well. Oil prices have tumbled, dropping below $100 per barrel. Republican Clay Fuller has won Marjorie Taylor Greene's former U.S. House seat in Georgia. Fuller's special election victory bolsters a slim GOP majority in the House. And watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 1,071 points. The Nasdaq ahead 563 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, Bel Air, this is Alfonso. Come experience one of the area's most exciting new spots from the festival, Sol Oaxaca. We're serving up fresh homemade Mexican favorites from guacamole made fresh to tacos, fajitas, enchiladas, and more. Love seafood? We've got it. Vegetarian options? Covered. And don't miss our brick oven pizzas and lunch specials Monday through Friday till 3. Join us for lunch, dinner, or drinks 7 days a week. Just Google Sol Oaxaca Bel Air. S-O-L-O-A-X-A-C-A for Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. That's Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. Sol Oaxaca of Bel Air. And come taste what everyone's talking about.
Custom home builders and remodelers find Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville so dependable and easy to work with that Jarvis has become the go-to supplier for builders throughout Maryland and Pennsylvania. They provide appliances on time, within budget, and at the right price. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Trevor Rogers remains legit.
2-2 for Hill. That's strike three right in there for Trevor Rogers. And strikeout number 5.
That's knocking a little paint right off the inside corner for Trevor Rogers.
Kevin Brown at Big Ben had the call on Masson. I used to call him the burly left-hander, but have you seen him lately? Now he's the slim left-hander. Either way, Rogers with 6 gritty innings in tough conditions yesterday. 2 runs allowed, didn't get the win, but allowed the Birds to win it late. 4-2 the final on a Gunnar Henderson 2-run shot. After the game, Rogers on the battle.
In terms of stuff, probably the worst one of the year. It was one that, you know, I had to bear down from, you know, after that third inning on. I had to bear down, just grind through it, try to make pitches the best I could, and keep my team in it.
Rogers allowing 3 straight hits after getting the first 2 outs in the third. White Sox plating both of their runs in that inning. National media weighing in on Lamar's attendance at the offseason workouts, which started on Monday. Former NFL player Emmanuel Acho on his podcast, The Speakeasy.
This is leadership at its finest by Lamar Jackson. Lamar ain't got to be there. He ain't got to be there because it's not punishable. He ain't got to be there because he's making enough money. And he ain't got to be there because it's not mandatory.
Stop. I'm sick and tired of this. It's not about Lamar having to be there. It's about should Lamar be there? Should he be having his coaches back? Should he be leading his team? If the answer is yes to any of those questions, then all this media hoo-ha about how great it is that Lamar actually took time out of his hard life to show up is part of the problem in the first place. Coming up in 30 minutes, Gunnar Henderson does it again. And that is Stein on Sports.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got a bright and sunny but a chilly day ahead of us. Temperatures only in the low 50s. Mostly clear and cold again tonight as temperatures fall back into the freezing and low to mid 30s. More sunshine coming our way tomorrow, and our warm-up gets underway. We're close to 60 on Thursday. Below 70s are back starting on Friday, and then the spring-like upper 60s for the weekend. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, Dr. Lerfield here. If fear has kept you from the dentist, the Smile Design Center is the place to go. We have a little purple pill. You'll relax and have little to no memory of your visit. Just a healthy new smile. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
From Bel Air to Glen Burnie to Port McHenry and the Star Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCB.
This portion of the Kim Klasick Show is brought to you by the Law Offices of Michael A. Friedman, representing injury victims for over 30 years, on the web at maflaw.com.
All right, that was Jacqueline Stevenson running in Baltimore County in District 8. And as we mentioned, there's three House seats there. One state Senate seat. You had we've had Yahoo Blackwell on the show. He's running in the state Senate seat against Senator Carl Jackson. And then you have Jacqueline Stevenson. And like I said, there's five candidates running in the Baltimore County House seats. There's only three seats there. So you have options there for the Republican Party. I've got some of your text messages here. Missy says, you know, the way she's answering, it kind of sounds like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I did go back and I asked her again about, you know, the independent piece. You know, I guess, you know, keep in mind, it is very difficult. It's very difficult for many in the Black community to take that leap completely to the Republican Party. And I understand it and I get it. And I think that, you know, she recently took that step, as you mentioned, since 2014. I noted here that she's been an independent, not a Democrat. We have a couple of other text messages here. Mark says, I'm not so certain. Helen says, somewhat of a word salad. We definitely need sensible solutions in Annapolis. Yeah, until you get really, you know, and really involved in this and soaked in it, you know, you do have these ideas and you want to go to Annapolis and obviously make Maryland a better place. And I think Jacqueline Stevenson wants to do just that. I think she has great intentions. I think that she's got a great slate. She's on a part of a team there with Glenn Gilhar and others. And so, you know, I do believe that she wants to get there. And, you know, I was encouraged to hear her talk about the business community because, you know, that wasn't actually on my list of questions because I know we had about 30 minutes. But, you know, the businesses are definitely suffering. And then to find out, you know, after signing this budget today, Governor Wes Moore, to find out that the that package with utilities that could save us a little bit of money, to find out that that's only contingent upon what happens towards the end of the session with the, you know, a different piece of the bill. I mean, that's wild. That's wild. So it was never baked in. Those savings weren't baked into the actual budget. So, you know, there's a lot to fix in Annapolis. There really, truly is. And, you know, that's kind of the conversation we've been having about Doug and Eric Boucher out of Carroll in Frazier County. You know, he feels as though that he doesn't really have a voice, and that's why he's been just going back to his business every day in Arbutus instead of voting. Now, I don't agree with that. As you guys know, I don't agree with that at all. I think that you stay there, you work, you introduce amendments, and you make, you know, bad bills not so bad. But it's a tough fight. It is a tough fight. Now, of course, you want people that will be able to work across the aisle. So if you're thinking about someone like Jacqueline Stevenson, who has, you know, recently, you know, left that independent place to the Republican Party, you know, she could be someone that could bridge that gap with other Democrats in Annapolis. So that could be another strategy point that she could take. I did want to mention that tomorrow we do have on the show Tori Snow, of course, his latest op-ed. Of course, it's about Artemis going up into space. Of course, it's about Artemis, too. And then, of course, we've got, I told you, another new candidate running in Anne Arundel County, Dominic Martin. He'll be on the show with us at 10:35 a.m. tomorrow. So stay tuned to that. I did want to mention, we did talk about Federal Hill, and we talked a little bit about Baltimore City Council and, you know, this back and forth with the IG. But did you guys see this story about this man that has gone missing in Fells Point? Well, he's been missing since Saturday. And I just wanted to share this with you because I want you to keep your eyes peeled. And I want you to just keep, you know, stay on the lookout. But it is a very, I would say it's a very frustrating story because you see this gentleman, his name is Branson, by the way, Branson Odour. You see him on, you know, some of the security cam footage outside of the bar in which he exited. I guess it's the one he rode in on, that bar out there at Fells Point. And you see him talking to some individuals, and apparently that's the last time they saw him, which was on Saturday night. And, I mean, this is not a guy that's been in trouble. Very shocking indeed. And his girlfriend, she's sitting there and she's talking to, I believe that was Rebecca Pryor, could be wrong, but Fox 45 reporter, about the fact that they can't get a hold of him and it's just unlike him. It is a scary situation, I'll tell you right now. It doesn't look good. Take a listen. Oh, Branson O'Dour.
He said that he went kind of like all these cameras along here that he said that they went, he went like
but
that
that's
way.
The, that's the, as that's days the, pass and they pass another business with no new footage.
But he didn't go to the square because the hot dog guy did not catch him on camera.
Their concerns only growing along with their frustrations.
I'm supposed to speak to someone from Southern District and they're not really getting anywhere.
The girlfriend and stepmom of 27-year-old Branson O'Dour. Desperately retracing his last known steps along Thames Street and Fells Point on Tuesday.
Yeah. Just vanished. No, nothing. We can't find anything. No trace of him.
We're just not getting answers.
Describing Branson as kind, gentle, and outgoing. They say he was initially out with friends Friday night, when he later went to the Horseshoe Cayman on Saloon alone.
It's pretty unusual for him to
he's not like that.
No, not so. To, like, he doesn't, he usually goes out with, like, with friends.
Surveillance video showing Branson leaving the bar around 2 a.m., appearing intoxicated. He stumbles, leaning up against a wall for support, talking to three unknown individuals for about 2 minutes before going their separate ways. Since then,
I think his phone is dead. It's dead or off or smashed or something.
Branson's girlfriend, Emily, saying no one has heard from him. And now she's struggling to hear back from police after filing a missing persons report on Saturday.
I think, at least for me, like, it feels like
they're not doing enough.
They're not doing enough or fast enough.
Why do you think they might not be taking this as seriously as they should be?
Yeah. They don't think that is as urgent.
Yeah, the officer who did the report, the missing persons report, he said that, like, 9 times out of 10, like missing adults like that, they come home.
But he hasn't. Branson's loved ones now calling on the public to take a good look at this photo, pleading, if you know something, say something.
I mean, there's not, like cops out and about, like, hunting for him like we want. So I guess, no, it kind of feels like we're just, like, doing it ourselves.
All right. Very well-to-do man. Good job, good family. Not something you usually see. Now, I watched the video there, again, from him walking outside of that bar in Fells Point, and you could tell he was very intoxicated. This is, again, one of those situations where you cannot be alone in drinking like this. And look, you shouldn't be out drinking like that heavy anyways. I mean, but, you know, things happen. I get it. We're all human. But you could tell that he was very intoxicated, and he was talking to those three people outside the bar. And you could tell that they were trying to talk to him, and it looked like the girls were trying to ask him which way was he headed. They were like, they kept pointing down the street. Like, you could tell they were trying to give him directions. So I wonder if he even knew where he was there in Fells Point, or if he was familiar with the area. Because from the video, it didn't look like he was. And so there was also a gentleman out there. And the gentleman, like, you know, you could tell that they were trying to help him, but he was so intoxicated that they were kind of laughing at the same time. But you could tell they weren't bad actors, right? They, you know, the three that you see in the video were not bad actors. He walked off, and they actually walked in the opposite direction. But it would be great to know exactly what he was asking those three individuals, which is why I'm surprised the police are not looking for those three to see exactly what was said in that conversation. And I guess that's kind of like, you know, what the family's saying, that they're not getting a whole lot of help. So anyway, say some prayers for this gentleman's family, and hopefully he'll be found safe and you know, and alive. But here it is Wednesday. He went missing on Saturday. And it said the phone is dead or it's not working at all. I wonder if they are able to get into, you know, say he has an account, like a bank account, where they can at least see if he's had any transactions made in the past few days. Very sad. Very sad. I did want to mention, as I said to you earlier, a little bit about the latest of the conversation with the aliens. Before I bore you with that, I know many of you get upset with it. I know. Just, you know, say to yourself, this is one of Kim Klasick's flaws, right? This is one of the quirks about her. She, like, we don't like it. But she's really concerned about these aliens. Because I told you guys the story about me and the guy in Target, Brian the producer. Do you remember that story? Yes, you do. Don't laugh at me. I was very serious. There was a guy at Target. I tell you what, when that woman, Tiffany Gomez, on the flight, you remember she was on the flight and she gets up and she goes, that guy back there is not real. That's how I felt about the guy in Target. And it was so bizarre. And I tell you, I will never forget that interaction. Anyways, I won't go back down that road because I know many of you are tired of hearing about stuff like that. But I did want to just go back to, before we get into that, the question of the day, because it is important. The alien thing, not so important. But the question of the day is important. Brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Do you trust Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz? Now, I was trying to see during the commercial break if they have opened it and whether or not they're showing vessels going through. I didn't find anything as of yet. Here it is at 11:45. We did learn more about the 10-point plan, but real quick, let's take a look at what you guys are saying. Do you trust Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz? Let's see. And of course, this question of the day is up there all day long, so you can weigh in, share it with your friends if you could. It's also on Facebook. WCBM usually does bigger numbers on Facebook as far as your comments. Right now, 81% of you say no. You do not trust Iran to open up the strait. 19% of you say yes, that you do trust Iran. That's interesting. You guys don't think that Trump's going to force their hand? You see, that's interesting that people don't have a ton of trust in this. And, you know, that's a problem. That is a problem. Also, I just wanted to note, because we'll talk about this tomorrow, apparently when it comes to the Key Bridge, you guys might see this right now in the Baltimore Sun. This dropped an hour ago. They reached a $350 million settlement with the owner and operator of the cargo ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Okay, so we're going to be resolving a major insurance claim while leaving the broader multi-billion dollar legal fight intact. Okay, so they still have got to go to court. But the $350 million insurer settlement has been reached as a trial moves forward. All right. Now, when you're thinking about how much is it going to cost us, Brian? $5.3 billion? The $350 million settlement is really just a drop in the bucket. Does it help? Sure. But this is still going to trial. That's not going to help us out much. I don't know what they're going to do in this situation. And you still got Governor Wes Moore poking the bear, right? President Trump. And for me, it's just kind of like, dude, I mean, you need all the federal help that you can get. Doing anything else in regards to President Trump just does not make any sense. I did want to go back here and see if I could see any more of the points on this 10-point plan. I did see where there were some people saying that it's already a no-go, but there, apparently Israel's not happy with any of this, by the way. That's what they're reporting right now on Fox News, is they're not happy with the fact that there was a ceasefire at all. Which, you know what, I'm not surprised. Because I think Israel, their whole plan was to take out the regime, take everybody out. I don't think their plan, was more, aligned with the U.S.'s at the end, as far as the end game. Anyways, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. We'll leave it right there for now. Let's go ahead to the sound of Representative Tim Burchett. You know, this time he was on with Will Cain on Fox News. And he was pointing out that there's now missing and dead scientists that were looking into all of this drama surrounding aliens. Take a listen.
8 missing or dead scientists, many of them, I think most of them, with just in the last couple of months. Some of these stories do go back about 2 years, but they work at a handful of highly classified, high access areas like NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratories or Los Alamos in New Mexico. They have access to highly sensitive information.
They do. Again, I think it's sending a message, and I think the message is pretty clear. I've talked to some people, and this has had a real chilling effect. People don't want to talk about this issue of unidentified flying objects anymore, and it's kind of difficult to get to people because they are afraid, and probably rightfully so. So, I don't know. Everybody says virtually they get on about little green men and flying saucers. I just want to know what we're spending tens of millions of your hard-earned tax dollars. And when a bureaucrat tells me the president is on a need-to-know basis, we got to get some answers.
All right. So again, Tim Burchett, remember he sat down with TMZ and he said there was somebody from the Pentagon that guaranteed him that the alien situation is real. And I didn't even think about it before, but they said a lot of it was, had to do with the sea and, these are underwater crafts. I never heard that until then. But then he also is now talking about these dead or missing scientists. And he said they were all working on some of these, government programs with these extraterrestrial beings. I don't I don't know. I just think it's weird that we're talking about it right now also, because here you got this attack in Iran, which is pretty important. So I was surprised that he said that. Also, I got a text here from Donald. He says, Kim, some ships have been let to pass. I still do not trust Iran, but this has been happening in the last 2 hours. All right, Don, I appreciate you. Like I said, we'll get everything confirmed up, and I'll make sure that we talk about that first thing tomorrow morning. When we get back, I did want to tell you a little bit about Clay Fuller, by the way. He's the now congressman in Georgia's 14th district, taking the seat that Marjorie Taylor Greene once sat in, but then she vacated. So I just want to tell you a little bit about Clay, because obviously we need all of the fighters we can get in the Republican Party on Capitol Hill. Spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free with the code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduced stiffness, promoting better overall mobility you'll notice over time. So just go to res-q.com and use the code RELIEF to buy one bottle of Glyco Plus and get one free. Or you can call a consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE. That's 1-800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com with the code RELIEF.
Gary Stein here. If your heating or AC system gives you trouble, you need a company you can count on. That's why I recommend Farnan and Dermer, serving Baltimore for 125 years and one of the few that offer same-day service while others are a week or more out. Plus, take advantage of interest-free financing for up to 60 months on select systems and BGE rebates of up to $3,000 on high-efficiency HVAC systems. Tell them I sent you and get an AC system tune-up for just $99. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys. They're my guys.
File now with TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They'll find every credit and deduction or your money back. File in the Credit Karma app.
The Rob Carson Show.
We went through a hell of a lot during the 4 years that Joe Biden was president. When is somebody going to be held accountable for COVID? When is somebody being held accountable for not telling us the truth about it? When are people going to go to jail for opening our southern border and hundreds of thousands of children and women being trafficked for sex? And when are some people going to jail for opening the southern border to fentanyl, which killed 100,000 plus people per year in America?
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, just open up Facebook because I wanted to read some of the comments there on WCBM's Facebook page. Don't forget to follow WCBM on Facebook, by the way. You'll see the question of the day posted there every morning. But I saw where Delegate Brian Chisholm and Delegate LaToya Cagolo just posted a picture with their perfect attendance awards. Look, you know, Doug and Eric Boucher, they're not going to let you live this down with this whole thing of not showing up to work or showing up and then leaving. And, you know, we did hear that he wants to run for governor in 2030. You're not going to have support on either side. So I don't know why you would do such a thing, because there are Republicans that are so upset about it. All right. Do you trust Iran to open up the Strait of Hormuz? Don, thank you again for sending over. I did see during the break that they are letting some ships through. Jim says, if we have knocked out Iran's defenses, how is it closed? That was Jim on Facebook. Jim, that's a great question. Not sure if you're listening to the show, but apparently they do have some defenses, and especially when it comes to, I guess, what they consider their navy. Also, Maury texted on the Facebook page, "Less I trust them less than I would trust Joe Biden to babysit a toddler." Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Of course, there are some people that say, we will see. There's a couple of no's on here. There's a lot of no's, actually. Absolutely not, from Timothy. All right, well, go ahead and weigh in and leave your comment there on WCBM's Facebook page. I would love to know what you think. All right, before we go here today, I want to tell you about the new congressman in Georgia's 14. This is Clay Fuller. He's going to take the place of Marjorie Taylor Greene in a House seat, turning back a Democratic challenge with the help of President Trump's endorsement despite uneasiness over the war in Iran. Of course, this is from the Associated Press, if you want to take a look at it. But that was always the big question, right? You've got a couple of special elections going on right now. now. That was one of them yesterday. And people are wondering if Republicans had a shot because of the attack in Iran. And that's why I told you with CNN's latest poll, right now, even with this attack, this is great news, Republicans. Even with this attack, Republicans are up by 5 points in both the House and the Senate. And that 5 points even to win the House and the Senate back in November. So this is great news, okay? Because, yeah, there's a lot of turmoil. There are many Republicans and many Democrats that are not so happy with what's going on in Iran. But I think there are a lot of people that think that, you know, that are optimistic and think this could have a positive outcome. All right, again, from the Associated Press, it says, let's see, Democrat Sean Harris had led the first round of voting in March in a 17-candidate field, but couldn't overcome the Northwest Georgia district's strongly Republican tilt. Trump in February endorsed Clay Fuller, a district attorney who prosecuted crimes in 4 counties to succeed Green in Georgia's 14th congressional district. Marjorie Taylor Greene, once among Trump's most ardent supporters, resigned in January after falling out with the president. It's not quite truthful there. Don't forget that she also wanted to run for that Senate seat that Senator Ossoff currently holds there in Georgia. And apparently Trump told her, yeah, you're not going to get my endorsement for that one. And they did some polling. She didn't do well in the polling. And then she was out. But even right now, and I don't want to badmouth Marjorie Taylor Greene. I met her very early on in 2020 when I was running. And, you know, so much passion, obviously a lot of love for President Trump and Republican policies. And she was helping out with the RNC because she wanted to help other candidates because she was in such a strong, you know, red seat. You know, after she won her primary, she was helping out people like myself and Laura Loomer and so many others. And so, of course, we appreciate MTG for that. And, you know, it's just to see like how all this has shaken out. In the past year, it's just so interesting to watch. And, you know, Laura Loomer hasn't changed. I will say that. She's still Laura. And I don't know what's going on with MTG, but hopefully, you know, hopefully we can get her back on the right path. I mean right as in actual right, you know, going forward. But anyways, Clay Fuller, as you heard there, a prosecutor prosecuting criminals. That is somebody that's going to be strong, I would think, when it comes to illegal immigration and some of the concerns, you know, even with public safety there on the federal level. And so apparently he was a very successful prosecutor there in Georgia. Clay Fuller, very conservative, very pro-Second Amendment, pro-life, pretty much as conservative as they come. So I'm happy to see Clay Fuller go to Capitol Hill. Hopefully when he gets there sworn in there, he can fight for the Save America Act. Remember, that's still in limbo. And also, we need more funding for ICE and DHS in general. So hopefully they get back to work very, very soon. Because some of us are getting very, very frustrated with the Republicans not working currently. All right? Let this break be over. Get back to work. Okay, so we'll talk about the latest updates out of Iran tomorrow. Also, we're going to dive more into what's going on with the cargo ship and the insurance claim for the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Like I said, if it's just $350 million, that doesn't really do anything for us. But it is what it is. Again, Jacqueline Stevenson, thank you for coming on the show. Tomorrow we got 2 guests. Excited about that. Brian, the producer, as always, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Gil Kuta is a registered representative with Aegis Capital in Timonium, Maryland. His opinions are his own. Please remember that this program is for informational purposes only. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Listen to On the Money every Saturday at 1 with Gil Kuta, where he discusses general finance topics, including retirement, 401ks, IRAs, Social Security retirement, and other important financial matters. For more information, contact Gil Kuta at 410-230-1820. That's 410-230-1820. On the Money with Gil Kuta airs every Saturday at 1 on WCBM. This program is for educational purposes only and is not intended to provide investment advice. Consult your investment advisor before engaging in any securities transactions. On the Money with Gil Kuta, every Saturday at 1 p.m. on WCBM.
This is the right choice for Maryland.